Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routines to border scenes to footwork impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite something able. We're off the mad in Camelot. We sing from the die of Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
The Terrible. All rise for King Suzanne the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
If I were the devil, if I were the Prince of Darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree. The... So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions, just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and a carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look.
Please. everybody. Doesn't matter whether you're right-handed or left-handed. I would like you to take your hand and put it wide out there where all you can see all your fingers and all your thumbs, and put it into like the slap formation, see? And then get your GoPro camera on your head and basically take your hand and walk through your neighborhood and out through the woods and keep that hand in that position the whole time out in front of that GoPro camera. And then basically the moment you see a bee's nest, I want you to run up there real quick and slap it. All right? Just slap it. And then that way you can document what occurs whenever you do that. So, maybe that doesn't sound like the most intelligent thing to do. But that's kind of what I want to talk about. What's going on out here in this world that we're basically having this adventure in, I guess. So, to believe or not to believe, that is the question. So, Barbara, how's that sound about going up slapping a bee's nest?
Hey. well, I'm thinking...
me first, people, right?
I'm thinking people are doing that. You know, it's an analogy, right? I mean, it's not actually going up to a real bee's nest.
Well, I don't know. Maybe like, we should try.
Well, I think an idiot would only try to do that, and I think there are a lot of idiots out there. I think we're looking at Idiot City, or whatever you want to call it.
Well, I think you're right.
Bees nests.
I think you're right, because, you know, with all this stuff going on, I was actually going to play a couple podcasts. One had to do with election fraud, and one had to do with a semi-religious kind of deal. I'll just post both of those video links in there, and probably after you watch, after you listen to this show and the madness that may ensue afterwards, you probably be able to take those two videos in perspective of why I wanted to share them. But there's a lot of stuff going on, just so much stuff, it's just mind blowing. But essentially, it seems to me like the mainstream media, they like to slap the bee's nest. They do that quite often. And even the government, you know, between the both houses and Senate, you know, the Democrats and the Republicans, doesn't matter which side of the fence you're on, it seems like they like to slap the bee's nest. And I liken the bee's nest mostly to the actual people, we the people out here, because, you know, you get some sort of agenda you want to pass, and you run out there and you say, oh, well, the Republicans want to steal Granny's dentures and kick her wooden leg out from her. And then you got the Republicans saying, oh, no, they're lying. They want to steal your Social Security and, you know, saw Grandpa's wooden leg in half. And so, basically, they're going up there slapping the bee's nest, getting everybody all riled up. And then you got, actually, some of the actual We the People portion of the group running around slapping bee's nest as well, calling everybody everything under the sun. You know, we went down the list, homophobe, xenophobe, thisophobe, and natophobe, and all these crazy phobes. And, you know, I don't even know where they come up with some of these words and terminology, but it's really seriously kind of hard to keep a grasp on reality of what to believe or what not to believe in a world that has pretty much run amok in all different directions. There's a lot of things behind the scenes. It's like that whole deal where you hold one hand up and you get somebody's attention on that one hand because they think you're up to no good, and then they look over at that one hand just about the time you slap them with the other one. You know, it's that distraction. I think we get a lot of those distractions. What do you think, Barbara?
Well, I think that's the whole game, is the distraction. We've talked about that, you know, how all these things are distractions. Keep people, look this way, don't look that way. Look this way now, don't look that way. So while things are going on, I guess you'd want to say that are really significant or important, people are being driven from one direction to the other, you know, purposefully to look this way, look that way, get alarmed about this, don't look at that though, you know. Yeah. I think that's, it's a whole bunch of stuff like that going on. We see it very clearly. You know, talking about the election manipulations or fraud, so I'm trying to find this thread here, this link. I'll come across it perhaps during our talk here. I saw it, I guess, the other day. It seems that in Florida and Arizona, there were attempts to steal the elections. Now, attempt, with a plural. Now, the word is do not look here, okay? Don't look there, okay? But the California shooting and the fires, same locations, but look here. There's the distraction. You got me?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. It's like, as soon as I hear the word election fraud, basically, I'm one of the worker bees inside a deal, and somebody just slapped the bee's nest, and I'm like, what's going on, man? What's going on? You know what I mean? It's happening. It's happening right now. And so I'm rallying up the troops. Let's go out there and do something about this, you know? Does that make sense?
Well, it's beyond our comprehension. You know, it's kind of you know, frankly, listen. I've always felt for I don't know how long that your vote doesn't count for crap. I mean, I'm not to be crude, but because I have felt and believed through my many 75 years, well, I had to start when I was maybe in my 40s, so let's see. So discount some of those years because I was a kid and I was trying to find my way in the world and figure things out. I had my own instincts and my own inner standing of things. And trying to figure the mad world out, you know, but I came to a conclusion that our government, well, I had, you know, this word, our government has a hidden government. So, you know, okay, so now we know that there is a hidden government, but it's called a deep state. And these people aren't nice. They have an agenda that is not for the good of our country. It is not for the people. You know, and we could go down that rabbit hole, which is the New World Order and controlling everything and losing our freedoms here and affecting our constitutional rights. We see that happening on many levels now. But, you know, now we know, okay, it's a deep state. So now I always felt, well, our votes don't go, you know, they don't count. Why bother to vote if it's all rigged? Now we're seeing how blatant the rigging is.
Oh yeah, it's right all up in your face. I mean, anybody with common sense, like they were saying something about they were finding boxes for one candidate, empty boxes that should be holding ballots and that they use these boxes for like office supplies where they should be like basically to keep the votes separated and that kind of stuff. But they play it off like it's just, well, yeah, we're putting pencils and office supplies in there, and I'm like, and they supposedly repackaged them in like Ziploc baggies and stuff like that. But you gotta like, honesty's subject to the truth of the teller. Yeah, if you understand what that means. But are these like really honest people that are supposedly using these boxes for?
Well, you know what? You know what? I want to tell you something. So I did see this article, which I'm trying to find, about this woman who was working in Florida. Okay, working in the ballots. Getting the ballots and doing what they do, I guess, you know, when you receive the ballots, you get them and you separate them and you put them in this pile, that pile, and so on and so forth. Okay. So that's what they do. This is all by hand. You have tons of people working in this, in the election, on the election board. Okay. Now this person had a job that she would receive, you know, stacks of ballots that would come in from the machines and separate them along with other people in the room, separate them into piles. Okay, this voter voted for that one and this and so on and so forth. And they have to write all this up, you know, to count the votes and blah, blah, blah. So this person had this job and she was asked to take a stack of the ballots across to another building, where she was supposed to drop these ballots off. So she went over there. Now I'm paraphrasing here because I don't have the link in front of me. So she walked over there with these stacks of ballots, and the door was locked, but there were people inside because she could see through the glass door. So there were people inside at different tables and with all ballots kind of things stacked up. She didn't pay too much attention the first time. She knocked on the door, and nobody paid attention to her. Knocked on the door, and nobody paid attention to her. So she went back to where she started from and told the person, you know, that she couldn't get in the door. So he said, all right, just go back and knock. Continue to knock on the door. They'll open the door for you. So she went back, knocked on the door, and somebody came to the door immediately, opened the door a crack, took the ballots from her, closed the door, and walked away. So she walked back to where she was originally working for in the room and continued to do what she was supposed to do. They gave her another stack and said, okay, now go back, take these ballots back to that other building, which she did. But now she's looking more, you know, attentively into what's going on here. And she's seeing people at tables with stacks on the left hand, stacks of ballots, and the person sitting there, they take a ballot off and put it in front of them, and they're doing something with it, and then they're putting it on the right side on another stack. And this is going back and forth, and she's like, well, what are they doing here? So she became suspicious, and it seemed to her like somebody, they were like writing a new ballot. They had a blank ballot in front of them. They'd take the ballot on the left hand, which was, of course, the voter's ballot, all marked, and then they take a new ballot, and they'd start coloring in the little oval, blackening in the little oval, and putting it on a new stack. So, okay, so this happened a couple times. She kept going back and observing this, so that's when she was allowed in the room. So they allowed her into the room about maybe the third or fourth time, and then she could see more clearly what was going on. So it was like not long after that, I guess, during that day, when she went back to, after delivering the ballots, being inside and seeing this, she went back to go to the original room where she originally started, and she was met at the door by someone, I can't remember the name, but she has names, who said to her, you're not allowed here anymore, give us your badge or whatever it is to show that you're a worker here, and you're not allowed to come back here anymore. Boom. Okay, so she left, and
well,
she went home.
Well, that's already suspicious right out of the gate, man. You're supposed to have people watching both sides, right?
That's what you're supposed to. But anyway, she went back and was so upset, she talked to her mother about it, right? And she told her mother, you know, I guess this was a woman maybe in her mid-20s, right? So she went back and talked to her mother about it, and basically told her mother what she saw. She didn't know what to do. She didn't know what to do about this. And so in talking with her mother and everything, come to find out, well, they went she made a statement. I saw the written statement. It was written under the watchful eye of a notary public. And she sent this out. She said what she saw. She described everything and how she was let go and fired and what was happening there and what she observed under this, the word I just used.
Oh, I lost it. Sorry.
That makes it legal. Okay, it's a legal paper, and they sent it.
Oh, the notary.
The notary republic. She wrote it. She signed it, and so on and so forth. She gave all the names of the people working there. She explained what she saw. What appeared to her was to be manipulation of ballots. In other words, let's say you when you vote, you go into that little box and you color in the little circles for the one you're voting for. Then you put it in a machine. Well, then all those ballots go to the room where she was originally working in, and then people were separating the various ballots into different categories. And when she was asked to take stacks of those real ballots, okay, legal ballots, into that other building, she observed that they were stacked up on one side and people were sitting there taking the real ballots and using a fresh ballot unmarked and coloring in the little circles and putting them in a stack and pretty much, you know, just discarding and ignoring the original ballots of the people. She wrote all this up and it was sent out, you know, notarized to authorities. Okay, now this is big. Okay, of course, because it says here, Florida and Arizona attempts to steal the elections. So you and I were talking about, slapping the bee's nest.
Yep.
And we're talking about distractions. Okay, so the point is, do not look here. Okay, all this information coming out about the attempts to steal the elections, don't look there. What you really want to look at is the California shootings and the fires, all in the same location. Florida, the California fires, and so on. So the point is what we're saying is something's, there's a big bee's nest here being slapped. And you know what? You have to know that there's dark things going on. You have to know where to find the source, I guess the source of the truth. But all this will come out. And the mainstream media is pushing one agenda, I guess you'd say. Politics are pushing another agenda, you'd say. But what is it with these fires? Listen to this. I mean, this is pretty extraordinary. How many coincidences before it becomes mathematically impossible? Now, expand your thinking, because that's what we're being asked to do. Okay, the amount of fires in California the past 12 months, and the amount of fires in California the past 10 years. Okay?
Yep.
The date that the Fed's funding cut off from California as a result of violations of sanctuary state city. California budget cuts past 12 months Ray fire and prevention. Reduce and eliminate dry brush cleanup. Reduce, eliminate tree line cleanup. Reduce and eliminate fire break installations. Reduce and eliminate chopper flyovers to target high exposure areas. Reduce and eliminate population areas, exposure, and fire break safety management. Reduce and eliminate use of inmates' correction facilities, for instance, for highway cleanup and dry brush removal. What is the primary purpose of declaring a state of emergency? What determines the size of the federal payment to a state that has declared a state of emergency? And what is the current debt of California? So what this is questioning here is this coincidence, the coinkydinks. How many coinkydinks before it becomes mathematically impossible? So if you look at the amount of fires in California the past 12 months, I mean, it's mind-blowing. It's staggering. But if you look at the amount of fires in California the past 10 years, it's way minimal. What is going on in California? Now you say, okay, they budget-cutted the past 12 months fire prevention stuff. They reduced and eliminated the dry brush cleanup. They reduced and eliminated tree line cleanup. They reduced, eliminate fire break installation. So this is what I just read. This is what's going on in California. Now you have all these fires, these mind-blowing fires. And you know what people are screaming about? Climate change!
Yeah.
Climate change!
I knew
climate
that was coming.
There's the bee's nest you want to slap.
Yeah.
Climate change. Something is going on.
I knew they was going to get that one in. I bet even a lot of this election fraud is going to be blamed on climate change.
Well, I'll tell you what's going to happen, and they're already starting it, election fraud. So you have the Dems claiming the Republicans are messing with the elections, okay? You have all this going on. You have the accusations of from the left accusing the right. From the right, accusing the left, you know, how are we ever going to find, you know, what's really going on? Well, guess what? You have to do your research, because you will find out. And that truth will come out, you know, and it is coming out, and it's going to blow your mind, you know, I'm just saying. So the bee's nest is getting bigger and bigger, and there's idiots out there slapping this bee's nest. And guess what? When you slap a bee's nest, like you say, well, first of all, you're an idiot. In other words, you're not using common sense.
Yeah, I have to agree. But did you like how I dramatized that? You got to have your GoPro hand camera on your head and have your hand right out in front, you know, in a wide open, like you're getting ready to slap something, and you just walk up to the bee's nest and pop at one. Didn't that sound cool? That'd make a good movie.
Well, I'm sure there's some idiots who have tried to do that, you know, I mean, really.
I bet they didn't fare so well, because bees, you know, when they're busy working, minding their own affairs, and then somebody just out of the blue comes running up and slaps them, well, they get a little bit upset about that. And I kind of think that's what's happening to the people. I think that every time we're out here trying to do our jobs and run our lives and take care of our families, the mainstream media comes running in with that hand out wide and then slaps the American people and the world across the face and says, pow, look, these guys are cheating on you and stuff, you know. And then the opposite side comes back and slaps you in the back of the head and says, no, they're lying and stealing from you and everything. So it's kind of hard to know what to believe or not to believe when you're constantly being bombarded. But if you're sitting back and you're looking at with common sense dictates if you got some boxes that are supposed to be holding ballots, you don't empty those boxes out and put other, you know, put the ballots somewhere else in Ziploc bags. And what the story you talked about where the girls witnessing these people writing down on ballots, what in the heck would the electioneer people supposed to be writing on ballots anyway? They're not there to vote. They're there to count the vote.
Well, the point is that she witnessed this and then she went to the authorities with this, and she has numbers of names who were involved in this particular scam, whatever you want to call it, messing with our constitution.
Yeah.
For their purpose, for their agenda. Now, I want to say, listen, the swamp contains red and blue. That we have to know.
Oh, I believe that as well.
Yeah, so you have to stop blaming the Dems. You have to stop blaming the Republicans, because the swamp is contained within both of these systems.
Well, it could be one side or the other is better at, like, the Democrats are not very good at hiding their crimes because they keep getting caught for some reason. Now, if the Republicans
well, and
are up
the bee's
to...
Nest.
Yeah.
There's the bee's nest. They keep slapping that bee's nest. I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what it starts to feel like when you're watching the dang news, because you get an election, they come out there with the results, and they're not exactly the way you wanted them, but they are okay. You know, it's not like a life-threatening thing. So the Democrats took the House, but the Republicans kept the Congress. So there's a check and balance going on there. Even though you might think one side's crazier than the other, nonetheless, you've got, as long as they're up there arguing about things instead of going up there passing all kinds of crazy laws, it buys us a little bit of time when there's this separation of powers thing going on, if that makes any sense. But
well, I think that, as I'm going to say, this has been going on for, I don't even know, I can't even imagine how long the corrupt messing around with our rights, our voting thing. And now here's a bizarre thing. Okay, I'm going to get into. Talk about woo-woo stuff now, all right? Because we have to... we have to talk about the woo-woo stuff.
Are you going to slap that bee's nest too?
Well, you guys are going to get slapped upside your head. That's what you're going to get. Okay.
All right, let's hear it.
So... okay, you know, Patty and I, what we've been doing, going down rabbit holes. Well, since the last time I spoke to you on this show, the numerous rabbit holes have called to us so sweetly. We decided to plunge in those rabbit holes, because you know why? I'm a curious person. I can't stop being curious and curiouser and curiouser, and things are getting curiouser and curiouser and pretty maddening, and we have a lot of wows going on. Wow! So that's just our nature, you know. I'm not going to take flat out one person or some persons or whomever's that are going to stand up there and say, this is how it is. Believe me. No, I don't. I guess I learned a long time ago. Well, you know, because you have this instinct inside of yourself that says, question everything, question authority. I learned that a long time ago. We have to be careful of these authorities. Who put them in this position anyway? Who made these people authorities that we should believe? And we're told, you must believe us. We are the authorities.
Yeah.
Okay? So who put them there in the first place? Every part of our system has the authority at the head of it, telling us what is, what isn't, what to do, how to think, what to go, where to go, what to buy, what not to buy, how to behave, and so on. And who
well,
to blame
what,
and who to point fingers at and
you
who to get angry at.
You know what Congressman Bongwater says? You can always trust your government, right?
Who's the idiot? Who's that idiot?
Congressman Bongwater. He said you can always trust your government. He said, elect me and I'll screw you on taxes.
Now, this is interesting here. I know I'm just diverting here, but there's a prominent... Okay, prominent terror cases with ties to Florida. Okay. Are you interested in that?
Yeah, listen to it.
I know you are, but I'm saying to the general public out there. Okay, this is very interesting to me. nobody's putting this out. Mainstream media isn't putting this out. So you have, this is all about Florida within this past several months. Nicholas Cruz. Remember the massacre, Nicholas, that young man, Nicholas Cruz, went into the school who was, looked like he had, his eyes were dazed and glazed. It looks like he wasn't even home in his, police, photo of him,
yeah,
that young man.
There's been a lot of those in the last,
of that going on. And if you're not an observer and a person who questions things, you have to look at that and you go, whoa, where is that person? Now, originally, when he was arrested and he was interrogated or whatever it was, okay, there was something that was not put out in the public domain that came out later after he was indicted and put in jail. What came out later was during his interrogation, after he was caught and they took him into the police station, the video of him, okay, they eliminated this. And his testimony was, part of his testimony that was eliminated, and not, you wouldn't see this anywhere, was that he said, now listen to this, because this is a key piece, I heard voices in my head, they kept telling me, kill, kill, kill. Now.
That reminds me of that sign that we were talking about here a while back where it was transmit a energy wave out and you didn't hear it like through your ears, you heard it through your head. You remember that sign?
You're unconscious, right? Talk about brainwashing. So this young man said that. Now, I have seen this. Now, this Nicholas Cruz, because it was a school shooting, came up with this amazing, creepy, testimony. And that was eliminated. You didn't see that anywhere on mainstream media. Nowhere was there a report that Nicholas Cruz, that young man who looked on his face, and I've been noticing that look on the faces of people, their mugshots. Now, your common event, which I'm sad to say it is a common event these days, where people are doing horrific stuff to each other, to children and babies. It's beyond your comprehension, not only here in this country, but in the world. And they have these mug shots. Of course, the police take their mug shot, and nobody's home. Nobody's home. You look at their faces, and their eyes are glazed over, and you say, well, what is this? But what they are saying, the majority of them, the greater percentage, I have noticed this over the last year or two, where these people expose this thing that they've experienced, and that a voice in their head has said to them that my child has a demon in them and you have to kill your child, or so-and-so was this and kill, or whatever it is. Okay, now this is kind of a thing that I've noticed. So now you have Nicholas Cruz who said this. Then you have Caesar Soyuk, he's the recent one, that Caesar guy in, again, Broward County. These are all people from Broward County.
Yeah, that's kind of strange.
Now you have Mohammed Asa, Broward County. Now these are all recent shooter and bomb stuff and blah, blah, blah. I'm going to read this to you. You have to question, okay, what's going on in Broward County? So you have Nicholas Cruz, Caesar Sayoc, Muhammad Atta, Reis Alam, and Shayar Alam Ghazi, Broward County, Jose Padilla, Broward County, Amran Farouk Mandha, Broward County, Sami Al-Arayan, Broward County, I can't pronounce these names, James Gonzalez Medina, Broward County, Then you have other things. Scott Israel, Broward County. Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Oh, by the way, she lives in Broward County. Now there's a whole bunch of stuff on Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who was basically caught and fired from her position of the DOA because of the manipulation, how she basically, along with others, worked to basically lied about certain things to push Bernie Sanders out.
Oh, I think you meant the DNC.
Oh, the DMC.
Yeah. You said the DOA. Which is,
I can't keep those.
Which is dead on arrival.
I can't get any. Well, there you go. Yeah. Slap that bee's nest and you're going to be DOA.
Yeah, that's it.
Especially. And then we have David Hogg. You remember David Hogg?
Yeah.
Was he from Broward County too? Yes.
My God. And so I'd say pretty much most of the folks in Broward County got some issues.
I think something's going on there in Broward County. So we have prominent terror cases with ties to Florida. That's what I'm looking at here. I'm going to send you this
Yeah, I got to take a look at that link. That's very interesting. I think we're already past the number of coincidences that you'd have to say something's really going on.
Coinky dinks.
Yeah.
And I'm going to pass this link to the People for People chat. By the way, hey out there, everybody.
We forgot to say you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table.
We just got right into it, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. We just jumped the gun. We had to run up there and slap that bee's nest in a hurry. So, well, if you're going.
So people are slapping bee's nests all over the country.
Yeah.
And they're going to wind up DOA.
Yeah, that's it.
That's what I'm saying.
That's
so,
it.
And if we're being also the Wolf Spirit Radio listening, and hey, everybody out there in Wolf Spirit Radio, and we have Charles Two Dog and Gaz and Patty and Troy joining us here on People for People, and we're on fire today.
Yeah, we're slapping bees nests.
We're on fire.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, don't forget, if you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html on shazizradio.com. That's where you got access to 4 separate chat rooms, and if you want to get over there to People to People Radio Network, all you got to do is scroll down under the chat rooms, and you'll see the People for People radio link down there. So go over and say hi to those folks and see how many bees nests they're over there slapping. All right, so where
were
we?
What do you call it? Life is a bee's nest.
Yeah.
Don't slap it. Play nice.
That's right, because it's like I can visualize this in my head, myself personally doing this, running up there to slap a bee's nest. I could see that, and I could see where it would really seriously go wrong.
Guess what? Oh ho! I just found it.
All right.
Here we go. This is what I was looking for. On 11/3/2016, Chelsea Smith, SOE affidavit. Okay, affidavit of witness to voter fraud in Broward County, Florida. Are you guys, anybody out there living in Broward County? I'd pack up my bags now and leave.
Yeah, they got like terrorists, voter fraud, and crazy people galore, man.
Okay, so here, this young woman, her name is Chelsea Marie Smith. I am over the age of 18, I am of sound mind, and I have personal knowledge of the facts contained in this affidavit. I was employed through a temporary employment agency, which is a K-Force, and was working full-time at the Broward County Supervisor of Elections, hereinafter SOE. So in other words, the COE, okay, I got to keep this in my head.
Yeah.
Main office in Lauderhill, Florida. My duties included clerical work as well as delivering various items as needed throughout the office. My regular hours were from 8 a.m. until approximately 9 p.m., depending on the need. As an employee, I regularly clocked in and out of work as required. As part of my regular duties, I frequently handled absentee ballots, including time stamping, registering new voter residences, and sorting and delivering ballots to various sections of the SOE headquarters. One of my supervisors, Dozelle Spencer, had reviewed the various ballots with me as part of my training. As such, I am very familiar with the appearance of those ballots. Now pay attention. On 10/31/16, at about 8:30 p.m., I was instructed by my supervisor, Charlotte Shipman Smith, to carry a stack of absentee ballots request forms to another room in the building, which they referred to as the Pitney Bowes room. I had never previously been asked to go to that room. When I got to the Pitney Bowes room, I found that the entrance door was locked and required a security number to gain entrance. I was never provided with that security number, so I could not enter on my own. The door has a long, thin window, which was uncovered. Although I knocked several times, the people inside were too busy to notice. Through the door window, I could clearly see four SOE employees sitting at a table with stacks of documents and writing something. Eventually, one of the employees opened the door, took the ballots from me, and closed the door. I was not let into the room, and the employee seemed very rushed. From the door window, I was unable to determine what documents were on the table. I then returned to my regular workplace. I was then asked to deliver another stack of absentee ballots, request forms, to the same room. Once again, the employees initially ignored my knocking. I looked through the door window and could clearly see four SOE employees sitting at a table. Each person had a stack of documents next to them on one side and another stack on the other side, and they were all writing something on each document. Eventually, an employee opened the door for me and in a very hurried pace, allowed me in the room, told me to place my ballots on a different table. Once in the room, I could see the four SOE employees sitting at the same table actively filling out election ballots. Each had a stack of blank ballots to the right of them, about an inch high, and a stack of completed ballots to their left. There were perhaps a dozen of each completed stack. I could see that the bubbles on the right stack had not been filled in, while the bubbles on the left stack had been blackened in. Now, those would have been the original ballots. Okay. I could see, also see the employees filling in the bubbles as they moved the ballots from right to left. I witnessed this activity for over a minute. I could see that the SOE employees were using the same black pens, which white body with a black cap that the SOE supplies to voters at the polling sites. I was then told to leave the room by one of the employees at the table. I completed other duties in another section of the building and left about 30 minutes later. When I arrived home, I told my mother, Michelle Castellanos, what I had seen. I was initially frightened to report this activity to anyone at the SOE for fear of retaliation. The following day, I reported for work at the same office at 9 a.m., performed my regular duties, and took my lunch break at the regular time. When I returned from lunch at 12:30, I was met by a uniformed security guard at the SOE entrance and told that I had been terminated and was forced to immediately turn over my SOE credentials. I was warned that I was no longer welcomed in the SOE building and that I should never return. I was given no explanation for this action. I was able to determine the identity of one of the SOE employees using the Facebook site for the SOE office. The employee was Mary Hall. I recognized Miss Hall from a group picture of SOE employees, which is posted on the SOE Facebook page. I had also seen photographs of Mary Hall with her name on the walls of the SOE building. Finally, Mary Hall's Facebook page lists her employment with the SOE office. Thus, I can say that I saw Mary Hall, an SOE employee, sitting at the table in the Pitney Bowes room, actively completing ballots with an SOE pen and placing them into a stack. Mary Hall was also the employee who told me to leave the room. I am executing this affidavit freely and voluntarily. I have not been pressured or enticed in any manner to provide this testimony. I am willing to fully cooperate with law enforcement in the investigation and prosecution of this matter. Further, affiant saith naught. Signed by Chelsea Marie Smith, State of Florida, County of Broward. Before me, the undersigned authority personally appeared, Chelsea Marie Smith, who is personally known to me or having displayed the following identification, Florida, that's the, I guess it's the notary public is signing this, and who after being duly sworn, disposes and states that under penalty or perjury, the above listed facts are true and correct. I'm going to send this to you, but you all people need to know what's going on down there in Broward County.
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing's for sure. I hope it doesn't, but if anything happens to that girl after all that deal right there, then that's pretty much going to seal the deal as far as me believing that story. I guarantee you that. Because it seems like every time somebody comes up with evidence against that doggone party, that they end up not faring so well. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's a whole other story, isn't it now?
Yeah.
But she did her job. She went to the authorities, signed this paper, and now we have this truth about what's going on there. Not only that, but with these terrorist connections in Broward County.
Yeah.
it's quite bizarre. Okay. So yeah, there's where we are, folks, in that mess. Now you have, let me see, I'm gonna look at this here. You have this. Now here's the thing. Here's a quote, and I'm gonna give you this quote, and I'm not gonna tell you who put this quote out. Okay. We knew then, now this is about these, messing with the bee's nest here in Broward County. We knew then, we know now, this time we have government control, boomerang, suicide. Okay, slapping the bees, I'm adding slapping the bee's nest. These people down there in Broward County are slapping the bee's nest, and guess what? That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, man, it's just mind blowing. This whole entire deal. Look, if you're a voter and you went and you voted for a certain person, and then suddenly they're telling you that no matter which side it came from, whether it be the blue or the red side, that your vote didn't count. I'm sitting here trying to think of the most plausible way to ensure that the count is recounted in a fair manner. And the only way I could think of it would be something as crazy as you make these two separate sections, one like the red team and one like the blue team or whatever, and you got these squares, and every registered voter goes over and scans on their perspective square, and then when everybody gets into place, if both sides of the fence are completely full and there's people standing outside waiting to get in, you know something screwy there, because there's more votes than there are people. You see what I'm saying?
You have a question. The question is, will election fraud be revealed soon?
I hope so.
Okay. I think it will, yes. And then there's a big sign here that says, Watch California.
I hope they do, because here's the thing. When people lose their trust in the doggone election system, we already got a lack of trust in the doggone governmental system, so, you know, that's and we got a lack of trust in the mainstream media. Well, of course, they're the ones that instigated this whole lack of trust to begin with. It's not the conspiracy theorists that's at fault. When you make yourself look guilty, and people start to question it, and then in proportion to trying to question it, you're trying to use propaganda or false information to try to debunk what they're saying that can be, truly proven that they're lying over there. That's why I said the only way to
feel that. No, these people don't lie.
Oh, no, they're honest.
No, nobody lies. They're all, come on now.
But
the only way I can... What are you, a conspiracy theorist?
Well, I think I am. But the only way to tell the truth, whether or not, was that you call everybody up on the news meeting on the phone and say, look, you come down here and you stand by this line and show your registration, your voter registration card and proof of citizenship, and then all you registered voters, you got two different places to choose from. You go stand on your perspective side, and then you actually have a physical count where people go over there and count every single person on this side and every single person on this side. This is who I voted for, so I'm standing over here. That's who they voted for, so they're standing over there. You see what I'm saying?
Well, you know, the thing is, so here we look at this. We look at what's going on here in Broward County with this affidavit that this young woman signed. What she witnessed, what she observed, kind of scared her.
Well, I can see that. You know, there's okay. a country where you got to dip your finger in blue dye, so or purple dye, so that you, when you dip your finger in there, it says you voted. So nobody, nobody can go there with their whole hand covered with the blue dye, because that means they voted five times. See.
Well, maybe this might lead us to a voter registration kind of thing, which would really be an interesting direction. And also, chip being chipped, okay? So maybe to make everything work better, people will line up to get chipped so that nobody can mess with these ballots.
Oh, you just really slapped the bee's nest now. Man, because see, look, maybe this whole thing has been planned out just to guide us.
You are a conspiracy.
Yeah,
nutcase.
I am. I got my aluminum.
Where are you going with this? Do you mean, do you actually mean that there's a plan?
I got my
that somebody has a plan and it's all predetermined. Hey, I love that word, predetermined.
Well, I mean, come on, doesn't it sound kind of suspicious?
You know I'm joking with you.
Well, yeah, I get it. But I got my aluminium foil on my head because they keep calling it tin foil for some reason.
Well, I've got my homeopaths that protect me from bee sting because I'm highly allergic. So I can go up there and I can smack that bee's nest.
Well, don't
do
it.
I'm going to smack those people who are smacking the bee's nest.
Yeah, what were you thinking?
And the other thing is, so let's look at this. Broward County messing, here's pretty much, I guess I'd say proof. But I bet there's going to be some naysayers out there anyway. I don't know, what are they going to say about this young woman? That she's lying, even though she signed this paper, she has, you know, whatever. I mean, people are going to do that. That's how it works.
Oh, yeah, they'll call her everything under the sun. They'll say she's a Republican plant or whatever, you know.
Yeah, so, okay, I'm going to go further with this. Now you have people screaming about the presidential race and that voter fraud. Ah, now we got to go there. So let's look at that. So if you have, you know, we had a mess there, right?
Oh, yeah. It was
with Clinton.
Broward County, too.
Clinton screaming that the Russians messed with the voters, voter machine, that Russia is responsible for Trump getting in. I mean, how many years has it been now? 2 years, just about 2 years that Mueller has been investigating this mess. And
well,
so
he's
far,
a lousy investigator because you and me and Patty and everybody else, we can see the writing on the wall from where we stand, and these guys can't seem to figure out that there's a possibility that it, have you listened to the mainstream media? They always say,
I don't listen to mainstream.
Well, they always say voter fraud is a myth. We got a secure system, and
yeah, well, of course, because they don't want to find the truth. They don't want to. Period. They've got their hands in the cookie jar. In the outhouse.
They got their hands in the cookie jar.
They got their hands in the outhouse hole. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have. You have this mess where suddenly it came out. I mean, suddenly it rose to the surface. I don't think I've seen, I don't know about Obama, if there was a big to-do about Obama from a different party screaming their heads off that this is voter fraud or that it was not true.
Well,
I think
something was screwy about that whole deal because I was watching that. I watch elections like a hawk when they're going on for inconsistencies. And I was sitting there.
Yeah, when are you watching that? On mainstream media?
Yeah, well, listen. I'm sitting there watching multiple TVs, multiple networks, all simultaneously, and I'm listening to what everybody's saying. And so I'm sitting there in bed and I'm watching these TVs and I'm hearing them say, "Oh, McCain's up by so many thousand votes, right?" Well, I decided to take me a nature break and go get me some more coffee. By the time I got back from the facilities in the coffee pot, they come out there and said, Obama's your next president. I said, what the? I ain't never seen an election turn that doggone fast. Usually they'd be arguing over like what we're arguing about right now, whether or not they had to do a recount.
The same thing wasn't Bush's brother in Florida?
Yeah.
There we go. Florida again.
But that was the fastest turnaround. I mean, I didn't even have time. I went and got my coffee and utilized the facilities, came back, and all of a sudden we got a new president.
Well, that tells you don't ever, you know, go nature. When nature calls, you know, you got to watch out.
Yeah,
things happen.
At that particular time, my eyes were heading south for the winter, so I had to hurry up.
Well, poop happens. Like yeah. Poop happens when you have to take a nature break. Before you know it, the whole country is shifted.
Yeah, it went to heck in a handbasket in that short period of time. And I'm like, what the heck just happened?
They're going to find out. You know, the reason Mueller hasn't come out with anything is because he hasn't found anything. You know, and you're going to find that out if you don't believe me. That's what's going to happen. You don't have to believe me. Period.
Huh.
I'm just saying. Okay, so I want to talk about how they know. All right, where's Patty? Does she want to come on in here?
Yeah, we can throw her in there, and if she answers, then we'll know the answer.
Well, listen, Patty, you don't want to throw her. You don't want to throw her in. But
oh, okay. Well, Patty, I don't know if you want to come in here anyway, because Barbara's slapping bee's nest.
Maybe you just want to pull her in.
Yeah, okay, we'll try
throwing
that.
Her in. Let's be gentle with each other.
The thing about it is, it's not just a person slapping the bee's nest that's in danger of getting stung when it's all said and done. You know, it's the innocent bystanders that's catching it too. So,
well, we're all catching. You see, this is the whole point. Is this is so deep, and this little piece I read about this affidavit, this woman coming out with this. So this is, and the whole thing going on in Broward County there. There she is. She's trying to get in, I think. Do you see her?
Yeah, I just added her too. I don't know. Maybe you already added her first. One of us
I didn't. No, I'm not messing with it.
All right. Well, we got her now.
Yeah.
I see that little picture there. That's cute. I love that.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to go, and I think because Patty and I have been discovering some other stuff I mentioned about the deepest rabbit hole, I think. I don't know. You know, we keep saying, man, we went down a deep rabbit hole, and oh, my gosh, and now, that's it. Phew. No, there's more deep rabbit holes, more information, more stuff that will just spin you, blow your mind.
Are we going to go there?
Oh, okay.
We're
maybe
slapping bee's nest. Why not?
Okay.
It's kind of early in the morning.
Okay.
Did you have your coffee?
Patty.
I got my coffee.
The question is, to believe or not to believe? All right?
Here's the thing. Here's the thing is, who in their right mind can look at the world today and say, that's not possible?
That's what I'm
seriously.
Saying.
Well, the coincidences, how many coincidences do you need before you believe? There we are. We keep going, coming back to that, right? We keep stacking up this proof. We keep stacking up these proofs. We keep stacking up more proofs and more proofs, okay? And it's sort of like that's getting pretty high. It's leaning. It's going to all fall down. Everything's going to all fall down. Well, that Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. All the king's horses and all the king's men. You know, he fell off, he cracked open, couldn't put Humpty Dumpty together again.
Well, that's why they make Gorilla Glue, man. All right, look.
Well, there's a game being played for sure.
I think you're right.
But we're not in on the game itself. We're just being moved around the board. Nobody's told us the rules. In fact, there are no rules.
I tell you, from
get to play.
What I've seen during this election cycle, coming from my own perspective and everyone I've talked to in my own general vicinity, I didn't find anybody who was going, well, I got to say, I did find somebody. I know my mom votes Democrat, but I didn't find anybody outside of my mom who watches like MSNBC and CNN and all that kind of stuff. She watches that pretty regularly, but I didn't find anybody who wanted to vote for the Republicans on my side. I live out in a rural area, granted, so it's probably more red than it would be blue, but there's still blue in the area. But even the folks that I knew that were voting blue they were voting red this time around because of this shenanigans that went on with this judge. And so I just didn't understand how the election came out the way it did. Now, on my side of the fence over here in Missouri, Claire McCaskill, she was out because of that Project Veritas. Everybody saw that video on that. And so they were voting that way. Now, I'm not saying that none of us weren't manipulated, because that's where the whole to believe or not to believe thing comes in question. But like Barbara's sitting there pointing out, how many coincidences have to occur before something, looks like it's really happening, you know, to the extent of Claire McCaskill. Yeah, what she said on one side of town isn't the same thing she said on the other side of town, and she got caught red-handed saying, she got to talk to these voters one way and talk to the voters on the other way. Well, from where I come from, most of the people in this general area here, they're not dumb people. And so when they hear something like that coming out the lady's mouth, it's like, yo, we'll show you. You're not going to cheat us out of our vote just because you say you're going to...
Wait, you mean they're not deplorables?
Yeah. I mean, they might have tinfoil hats on their head, but granted, it's because everything they see on the mainstream media and even some in the alternative media and between talking to each other, there is nothing that would surprise any of these people. You see what I'm saying? That's why... I know the rabbit hole you're going to go down, but hey, I'm like, there is nothing you could say that would ever surprise me. If somebody told me that Bigfoot showed up on my back porch last night and was painting graffiti on the side of my house, I would believe it up until the point where I went out to verify it for myself, but it wouldn't surprise me in the least if it really occurred. You see what I'm saying?
I've been a person who has always said, well, you know, I don't doubt people who tell me they saw Bigfoot. Because I've seen some pretty weird stuff myself.
Yeah.
How could I say somebody who sincerely comes to me and says, you'll never believe what I saw? And that is across the board. I don't question people because I have seen some stuff that I could say to you, you're never going to believe what I saw.
And then you always got to preface that with, you'll never believe this. I'm going to tell you anyway, but you're not going to believe what I just saw. Yeah, I get that.
See, I question everything.
You can't
take anything at face value anymore, and that's the real travesty of what we're dealing with today, is that we are the most uninformed, informed people.
Yeah,
I think in the world,
between the propaganda, you know? And all that, it's like this election debacle going on again. It's like, and the same county involved and all that. Well, look, if you keep on telling people there's election fraud, but yet nobody ever seems to go to jail over election fraud, because it's a crime to commit election fraud. Nobody ever goes to jail over it. And then the same characters are showing up in the same seats in Congress and the Senate over and over and over again, you know?
Well, and you have to look at this, too, because those people responsible in our government for prosecuting these people who are creating these illegal situations, they're not doing their job either. So you have to sit back and you have to say,
Yeah. And so that's why everybody's got tinfoil hats on, because it looks like a conspiracy. You know?
Well, because they're all playing the game that we're not allowed to play.
Yeah. So
We're just being told what to believe.
We're at the mercy of their supposed truth. We're at the mercy of their evidence and their propaganda. So if it wasn't for our discernment and being able to actually go down these rabbit holes and look at all different sides of the story to see what could potentially be right or wrong, if it wasn't for that, we would only have the information they gave us. And at this point in the game, who can trust who on either side, because of all the craziness that has occurred throughout this entire process. You see what I mean?
Exactly. And it's been going on for a long time. You go way back. You know? It's voter fraud has been a part of our elections for decades upon decades.
Well, and you have, I was going to say, you have threats. People are threatened. I mean, that's part of this voter fraud thing, you know. Like we saw that photograph of Pelosi standing in that hallway in a threatening manner to that woman, that other senator.
Wasn't she also the one that said, by any means necessary? Or was that...
Yeah,
one of them...
Oh, it could have been. It doesn't matter.
It was either her. It was either her or Maxine Waters. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
no, it wasn't Maxine. Maxine is about going out, get them where they eat, get them where they sleep.
Inciting people.
Oh, yeah. And the other guy said, kick them.
Holder. Yeah.
Holder
the Attorney General.
The Attorney General.
Kick them when they're down.
That's our Attorney General.
That's our Attorney General. Yeah, kick them when they're down. But this stomp on their heads.
These are words.
When they go low, we kick them.
Yeah, these are words that are coming out of their mouths on mainstream media that the mainstream media then turns around and turns... Well, he's not really saying kick them. It's just like, you know...
He's just kidding.
Yeah.
Well, it's all a mind game, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't it a mind game? Think about it. You're in the middle here. You're the guy sitting there thinking, what the heck is going on?
Yeah.
And so you got both sides going, nah, 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 nah,
well,
nah,
you
nah,
have
nah.
The Clinton saying on mainstream media, there will be no civility until we are back in power.
That's what she said. She said that. That came out of her.
I'm telling you she said it. Don't you believe
it? And what makes it worse on the conspiracy side is everyone who has a disagreement with her. Do you realize there's a huge body count behind the Clinton dynasty or whatever?
But was there civility before she said that?
No.
No.
No, ramp it up.
Only,
this is what I'm saying.
Only when
these
it's going their way.
That are meant to incite. These are only what they're putting. It's a play. It's a game.
Yep.
When you've got the MSM, the mainstream media, with their talking heads, pouncing on Trump, and then you've got one little network that, hey, we're rooting for Trump. Let's pounce on the other guys.
Yeah.
Who are they feeding?
Well, you know
who
what?
Who are they feeding?
Now, those are the conspiracy people.
You know what,
those
though?
Those are the deplorables. Those are the conspiracy nut wackadoodles.
Proof is in the pudding, though. Look, these folks, you could give them their cake, all right? You can give them their cake, and they're going to want half of yours, too. But even after they got their cake and half of yours... They want the rest. They're not happy. You just can't make them happy for some reason. We gotta kick them. We didn't get our way.
My question is, if the so-called, you know, if the opposite, we'll say the opposite of mainstream media, if those persons, the opposite, who we could say maybe are, you know, in our understanding, they are truthers. And so on, seeking a different perspective and looking at all perspectives and doing research, they are basically, the mainstream media opposes them because they're called conspiracy wackadoodles or nutcases or whatever. Why is the mainstream media then so bent on taking these people down?
Yeah.
If they are irrelevant, if they are just conspiracy wackadoodles, if they are nutcases, why pay attention to them? Why are they so important to the mainstream media? Well, that's my question.
Well, that makes it look
more... The discerning ear would say, wait a minute.
That's one of the reasons why I like Trump, was because it seemed like the mainstream media hated his guts. And I'm saying on both sides of the fence, because even on the supposed conservative side, they had opposing views on Trump as well. So it seemed like he was being attacked from all different directions. So to me, that said, there's something about this guy that's different than... he's not part of the in crowd, so to speak. And the fact that he was wealthy enough that he didn't need to get rich, so nobody's really going to be able to buy him off, you know, how much more money does he need? So that's what got me interested in Trump, was because, first off, he's out there mouthing off at the mainstream media, not taking no slack off of them. And, you know, that appealed to me, so I'm sure it appealed to other people that think along the same lines that I do. So I think that's why this huge Trump thing is has gone on the way it has, because Trump seemed like more of an average Joe. Now, could he be a huge plan or a distraction from the deep state to get us to think we got what we wanted? And then here comes the midterm elections. We sort of got what we wanted, but it still keeps that drama going enough to keep us excited and in the game, so to speak. You see what I mean?
Well, according to those in the know, they did get what they wanted. Well, go ahead.
I was just going to say, if you go back to the Bush Jr., he did some bad stuff. I mean, we were ready to kick him to the freaking curb. Corruption, we could see this guy for what he was and everything. Something has to be done. Here comes Obama, who says all the right things.
Yeah!
Who is able to reach out to the people, and the whole nation stands up and cheers. And exactly. Where are we now? Now we have Clinton. Oh, she's bad. We know she's bad. Look at everything she's done. And now we have charisma. Now we have all the right words. This is just, you know, I want to think and I want to believe that Trump is the answer. I really do. I've tried really, 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 really hard. And if he is, then all the power to him. All I'm saying is that we've been played before.
Yeah, it's starting to look like a bad miniseries.
Anything for granted. Yeah.
Well, I have to add that you have the history of presidents in our country, probably in other countries too, who have messed around with women during the time of their presidency. They've had affairs outright or clandestine. Okay, this is a given. It seems to be a given across the board with elite people, with people in power. They seem to be able to do what they want to do, and everybody just closes their eyes to it. You know? So that's it. That's in our history. I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm just saying it's not just one president today that has done stuff that are eyebrow raising, and you go, wow, okay, let's look the other way. Look the other way. Don't look over here. And that's part of the plan, you know. So I'm just looking at, again, Trump as well, because I, like you, sis, see what he is doing. Now, I keep pushing this piece, putting this out, because when he was first elected, the first thing he signed in December 2017 was this very important document about child sex trafficking. Okay, that was one of the first things that he, what do they call it, an executive order. He signed this executive order and spoke about how horrible child sex trafficking was and sex trafficking of women and pornography and so on and so forth. Pedophilia, right across the board, he spoke about that. Because this has been going on big time in our country and in the world. And it affects and connects all levels of people. Your ordinary guy, whatever, who doesn't matter, and into the middle zone and right up to the top, the very elite, are all involved in this thing. So this is what he's exposing, and I see that. You can go online and you can find, and I just popped this, there's somebody else popped something on Facebook the other day about this 243, something around that, children were just saved from a sex trafficking ring. I can't remember where it was here, but somewhere in this country. Maybe it was Broward County, Florida.
Wouldn't doubt that.
Anyway, so he's doing things like this, okay, but you won't find that. You really will not find that on the mainstream media, okay, that's saying that he signed this executive order to start diligently tracking these people down and closing down these sites, these pornographic sites and these enticing of, you know, children's sites. And he's done that. And to me, that is a powerful thing that needed to be done. All right. No other president has done that, but he's done it. And now there are arrests, many, many arrests happening in all factions of our country here. And it does go into other parts of the world. So we have the Saudi the Saudi system there, which was a big child sex trafficking place, which has been taken down. You have stuff in this country. You have, you know, police, just recently police and detectives were arrested. I don't know, again, maybe somebody out there knows. This was in the news. Child sex trafficking and sex rings and porno rings, blah, blah, blah. Some state, I don't know where it was. Police and detectives arrested. So this is what we're dealing with here. But, you know, you have this game, again, that they're playing, that we're not allowed to know those things. We're not allowed to know. We're just basically being pummeled with hate and divisiveness and violence.
That's the key right there. That is the key to me, is that everything that's being put out today is being put out in such a way that it ensures that we don't come together. It ensures that there is a wedge put between. We're so fractionalized,
yep,
in this country right now that we are all throwing stones at each other. We're defending a government that has been corrupt forever. We're standing on both sides saying, hey, my side's good. No, my side's good.
Well,
my side's good. Then, that's not it. That's not all. Then we've got the government standing up saying, those guys are bad. No, those guys are bad. No, it's the black people. No, it's the white people. No, it's the yellow people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the Catholics, it's the Protestants, it's the Baptists, it's the Muslims, it's everything, you know? This is the thing that gets me right now, is that there's no unifying force anywhere being talked about. Everything
is
separation.
That's the whole point, is look over here, don't look at us, look over there. Those are the people you have to be violent towards. Those are the people you have to hate. Those are the people you have to be angry at.
This is the game. Let me point something out real quick, and I'm going to leave this to you two ladies for a second. I got to step out. I googled up on YouTube. I say googled up on YouTube because they're one and the same pretty much. But nonetheless, I looked up midterm election fraud. And do you know, 2 years ago, Fox News had a headline said, outing the worst cases of voter fraud in Texas. All right, so this is something that's been every single election cycle, as far back as I can remember, somebody has accused somebody of election fraud. If you can't have a faith that you can go get your vote counted and, you know, expect that that's going to bring at least some of your representatives that you want to the table, you know, to try to solve all these problems. But are you ladies noticing a trend of what's been happening all the way back as far as you can think, as far as, being able to have trust in the system to be honestly heard?
Yeah,
absolutely.
I've been there all along. And you know what? Look at it this way. If you had two kids in the yard and they were fighting with each other, you know, calling each other names and telling little fibs on each other, what would you do? You'd go outside, you'd separate the both of them, put them both in punishment, right?
Yep.
No, what are we doing? We're fighting each other and letting the two bad kids continue their dang row with each other. What sense does that make?
You just said a mouthful, because it's the red team and the blue team. I feel like this is the Super Bowl, and people are getting frustrated because their side ain't winning, and the other ones are saying the doggone referee made a bad call. Am I wrong?
What we should be doing is saying, hey, sanity has to prevail, and if you guys can't get it together, then get the frick out of the way.
Yep.
You know? I'm just saying. I'm so tired of the separation and the division and the hate and all of this stuff that we're just, you know, they deal it out to you. Here's your platter of hate. Here's your platter of racism. Here's your platter of this. Here's your platter. Take your cookies and go and have fun, you know, and we're running up there grabbing them cookies off them plates, boy, and we're just, you know, running with it, and we weren't here We were not here 4 or 5 years ago. 4 or 5 years ago, we were standing together, pointing our finger at the government, saying, this has got to stop. We knew this. This is what I keep coming back to. We haven't come further toward the good. We've gone further toward the separation and the divisions, you know, and there's no solution for us here. There's no bridging of the gap. Now, don't you think that the idiocy, and I call it idiocy because it is, that we're witnessing in our Congress, in the corruption and everything, and the throwing of the stones, the sheer lunacy that is coming out of these people like Maxine Waters, Schumer, all of these people who are telling others, go out, fight these people, throw a drink in their face in a restaurant, don't let them have peace, go to their homes. All of these people, you know, that are being incited, and nobody's saying anything. You know, Maxine Waters should be brought up on inciting riots. If you and me did that, we'd find our butts in jail. But yet these people get carte blanche to go out there and create this division and this hate. They send people out in mobs to people's houses. What's the guy on Fox News? They sent the Antifa people to his house. They doxed him, his family, his wife, his children. He wasn't even at home. And these people were going up, vandalizing his home while his wife and children were in there. Where is the outrage from the left, from Maxine Waters, and people like this who should be standing up saying, stop this? And where is the outrage from the right saying, you've got to stop this? How come there's not any? What's the deal?
Well, because, I mean, we know very clearly, because they want, both sides basically are pitting us, the people, against each other.
Exactly.
They're coloring, they're blinding us, okay, with their rhetoric, pushing us to violence, pushing us to divisiveness and hate, to separate us. You have to say why. Because a divided people have no power.
That's
simple,
right,
as that. And they don't want us to have power. They don't want us to think critically. They just want us to do their bidding.
Well, I don't know about all that, but I'll tell you one thing's for sure. I want to get me a brick right now because I didn't get my way and run out and smash a window or something.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
That's
because
what I want
you won't
do.
Be held accountable.
Well, you're given permission now to do that. This has become the norm, people. And if you don't wake up to the fact that where we are being led, well, I kind of feel sorry for people because they are becoming more violent against their neighbors and others, even people in their family. I mean, I've seen, read stories of people who their family doesn't even talk to them anymore. You know, they're the outsiders because of their freedom and free will and their freedom to vote. Their freedom to determine, you know, I saw this video, I talked to Patty about it, I put it on Facebook because I was just so, it was so typical of where people are today. So the video was, it basically, this took place in my local community here, so I'm very familiar with this person, I'm very familiar with the status of this person. So this couple had a surveillance camera on their house, it's a local community like about 20 minutes from me. The surveillance camera, okay, showed a red, shiny red truck moving slowly, half on the road and tires half on these people's lawn. Now, the back of the truck, you know, like they have those covers on the trucks, the back bed of the truck was lifted up, so that you can't drive down the highway like that because you can't see out of your back window, but the back of the truck was lifted up. This truck slowly was driving and pulled over onto this couple's lawn. A woman dressed in high heels, a dress and a jacket, stalked across the yard, ripped up these vote for so-and-so signs that people put on their lawns, which happened to be Republicans, by the way, in our community. She ripped those signs up, walked back to her truck, threw them in the back of the truck, and drove away. Now, the couple came home. They weren't home. They came home, and they noticed the signs that they had put on their yard, on their own property, to vote for whom they chose to, which happened to be Republicans, were missing. They took a look at their video, the surveillance, and there they saw this woman, right? So they handed this over to the local police. Well, come to find out, this woman is a professor at a major college here, SUNY New Paltz. It's a huge college. She is a professor in that college. And so the police went to talk to her. And she said, I meant no harm to those people, to that couple. I meant no harm to anyone. I was just driving down the road, and I saw these signs, and I got emotional. Huh. So, okay, so now she's going to go before a judge, right? And in the statement that the police made, they said that they will find out if, in fact, she was driving around the town pulling up other signs because she had the back of her truck bed open. Who drives around like that? And my question is, okay, what were those emotions, number one? You have to ask that question. She's saying, I got emotional. Well, what does that mean? What were those emotions? Was it love and compassion and feeling, yeah, everybody has a right to vote, our country allows that, we have a constitution, or was it rage? Was it fear? Was it arrogance? What was it that woman, obviously a Democrat, an opposer to the Republicans of the signs she pulled up, what was going on in that woman's head, an educated woman, a professor in the local community, some person who's involved in this community, I happen to know her, and she's saying she doesn't mean any harm? Well, how would she feel if somebody came on her lawn and ripped up the signs that she said vote for her choice and you know, just stole them? How would she feel? What would that make her feel like? I'm just questioning this insanity where here this educated professor person, okay, is allowed to do this. What's going on in that woman's mind? What's going on in the country here, in the people's minds? Because this
Well, you know, what's getting lost in all of this hate and rhetoric of division, the thing that's getting lost is actually what's happening to this country by the government.
Yeah, look Don't look this way.
We have a government that is moving, trying to move this country towards socialism.
That's okay?
Correct. I don't want that. That's not my... I don't want to live like that. 90% of the people here don't want to live like that. So we got a real beef here. We got a real beef. It has nothing to do with people going out in the street and calling racism on each other and things like this. It has everything to do with what this government is doing while we're watching the right hand, what this left hand is doing. We have seen, and there is proof, just look how they are changing the laws in this country and taking us away from the Constitution that guarantees our rights,
yep.
Right? Okay?
Yep.
So here is the real problem that we are facing. The people are so inundated with this circus that is going on that nobody's paying attention to what this government is actually doing.
That's right.
And believe me, when you wake up one day and find out that you have no more rights, that the state now controls your every move, which, hey, guys, they're right here. Right here in your face.
Let me add another layer to this cake. This might be a humorous slapping of the bee's nest. Woman booby traps Trump sign after someone kept stealing it. That's one. There's a whole bunch of videos. If you look up booby trapped election signs on YouTube, There's one that says booby trap Trump sign compilation. Indiana homeowner booby traps pro Trump yard sign. Sends thieves run. Basically, there's been people going out there doing all kinds of crazy stuff to the election signs, like hooking them to electric fence chargers and, you know, like tying a cable to them so that if they take off running with it, it yanks it out of their hand and all that kind of stuff. But doesn't that say something to you? If the people out there feel it necessary that they got to quite literally booby trap their sign just because somebody's going to come along and steal their doggone sign, I mean, you're just...
Well, Winston Churchill said, and I did a whole thing on this the other day about... Because Karl Marx, who, of course, was the father of, you know, I guess what, socialism / communism, he said that socialism leads to communism. And Winston Churchill said socialism is like a dream. Sooner or later, you wake up to reality.
It's a common
communism.
Yeah, because there you cannot give give everybody freebies and expect your country to stay solvent. It doesn't happen. That's why socialism has never ever ever been a usable government.
Well, it's amazing.
It's never been successful
because
you can't live off the people's money forever.
It's amazing you guys brought that up because just as this morning while I was looking around on YouTube for content, I come across this doggone video of a college professor explaining socialism to people and pretty much making it sound to the students of how socialism isn't this bad thing that's been basically linked to communism and stuff like that. But the way that he explained this, if you were a student sitting in class, you would think socialism was a good thing that just got a bad word. But
it all sounds good, doesn't it?
It sounds good in theory, just like all the communism and even having a government in itself. You know, your security and they protect your rights and all that. Well, we see a total opposite play out where they're not necessarily securing us or protecting our rights, but yet they're still taking our money and such. Well, as far as socialism, all of us here on this panel right now would agree we would like everybody to have fairness. We would like everybody to have food, and even in a communist, for the better of the whole community thing, we all agree with that. But history has shown out it never plays out like that, because it's usually the king that ends up eating really well while the peasants down there, you know, picking up the breadcrumbs and such. That's the way it's always
turned
out.
Another thing that it does is it creates a working class, and there's only one class. It is the lower class. Everything that you are given by the state is meted out. So therefore, you know, they say, well, that brings equality. Yeah, it sure does. It brings everybody down.
Until you see the king eating caviar and steak tartare with fancy wine, and you're sitting down there with your split pea soup and your doggone butter sandwich, and then now you got like a little frustration going on. So what's going on? How come the king ain't eating the same thing we're eating?
Here we go. Gaz, you know, I love you, Gaz. Gaz has said exactly what I want to say. No government systems have been successful. All governments are experiments. And he's right. He's right. And there is no government that can care for the people. The people have to care for themselves if they want true freedom. You cannot be under the thumb of any controlled system and expect to live your life in equality. There will always, always be the haves, the have-nots, and those that have it all. That's the way governments work. They run on a profit. What is their net profit? If it's not profitable to a government, that government will cease to exist. it's not about the people. It sounds good. It really does. I mean, the government for the people, by the people. But the proof is in the pudding. How many of you in this government of the people, by the people, have ever had a real say in what your government is doing?
Well, and I think
how many of us?
I think that might have something to do with why it is that the doggone people feel it necessary to booby trap their election signs, because other people don't want the same type of government, and you can never agree on, get them to agree on the same. If it was like a true election and a true you know, trust in the system, then whenever you lost it, you just lost it, and you go through and hope to do better the next election cycle. But it's actually the government in itself, without necessarily causing division, is causing division just by the fact that I don't want this. I don't want liberals as a conservative. I don't want liberals making laws that I'm not going to agree with, and so I'm going to get so frustrated. I'm going to go out and tear down every Democrat sign that I see. And you see where that ends up? It ends up in basically you against me, because we have two different types of political views. So in itself, just the thought of government is dangerous by itself. But that's before they are creatures of habit and do the dirty deeds that they do, you know? You could be
exactly.
Yeah.
How many wars have you decided to start, Shaziz?
None.
How many countries have you decided that you wanted to go and bring democracy to?
Zero.
How many?
Zero.
Yeah, to violently change
overthrow
the minds of those people.
Yeah.
You
how many?
Go
how
our
many?
Way.
How many of those wars have you won? Did you want to go into Libya and take Libya out?
No, I'm the one out here
Vietnam.
Shouting peace
yeah.
and love. Can't we all just get along? Peace and love. You know?
Well, so here's a quote from Martin Luther King Jr. If you like Martin Luther King, if you like what he stood for, he says, "The greatest purveyor of violence in the world, my own government.
Yep.
I cannot be silent."
Well,
you know,
when they're out there in order to get elected, when they're out there saying that the white man is oppressive to the black man, that is not only hurtful to me, it's hurtful to everybody on both sides of the fence, because that puts division out there, and it also plants that seed of doubt and negativity in your mind that, well, maybe black people don't really like white people, or vice versa, you know? And so, you know, when the first black man come up there, the very first thing that they started saying right out of the gate, the mainstream media said right out of the gate, he won't get elected because he's black, basically is what they were saying. And, you know, other people were, you know, thinking about this whole process. And in order to, you know, to shut up the hater side, the racist side of the argument, a whole bunch of white people went out and voted for a man just because of the color of his skin. It wasn't because that he would do the best job, or necessarily the fact that he said the right things, which he did to the right crowd, he said the right things. But you shouldn't be voting for somebody just because you're trying to appease the side to say that I'm going to vote for this guy to prove I'm not a racist, you know? I think it's time we have a black president, or even a lady president. I don't care whether it's a black man, a yellow man, or lady, or dude, or whatever, as long as that person is going to do an honest job. That's what 99% of the people out there, I feel like, believe. As long as this person is going to do an honest job to protect my rights and my interests and do the best job for the nation that they can, I would vote for that person. But you're not getting that. You're getting bashing from both sides of the fence, saying, "Well, this guy's a racist. He don't like black people." Well, they say it while he's standing next to somebody who's saying, "I like Trump and I'm black." You see what
well,
I mean?
I feel that I saw this again on Facebook. Somebody posting stuff that is really in my inner standing, really inciting and you know, divisiveness, and basically it was quoted from a, and here's what really caught me, this is why I started looking at socialism, and, you know, looking at that more deeply, what is that, you know, so Democratic Socialist Party, okay, Democratic Socialists put this divisive, inciting video up, or whatever, news whatever it was, it doesn't matter. I said, Democratic Socialist, that's fascinating. So is it that the people are still believing in the Democratic Party, if possible, that was once, you know, different, like, say, many, many years ago? Not that there wasn't any corruption in these parties, but I'm just saying, what's now with this tagline, Democratic Socialist? So here's what Margaret Thatcher says about this. She says, socialists cry power to the people and raise the clenched fist as they say it. We all know what they really mean, power over people, power to the state.
Yeah.
This is what is going on today with this new wave of democratic socialists. And you're right about the colleges today are basically indoctrinating the young people that socialism is the way to go. Whoa. Now, we have these people, some of them are dead, that lived through socialism in foreign countries, Karl Marx for one, and various other people, and Winston Churchill said the inherent vice of capitalism is the unequal sharing of blessings. The inherent virtue of socialism is the equal sharing of miseries. I mean, these people have lived through various things, and today we have this wave of democratic socialists pushing us into what? What is this?
Well,
where are we heading?
There's also one other aspect to this, oh, socialist, communist, and such, that these folks can actually take the liberty to go out and redefine words and definition to suit their own deal.
Yeah.
Like, for example, Trump said he was a nationalist, all right? Well, they automatically turned that around into something that was a bad thing, but if you actually read the definition of nationalist, it's a person who advocates political independence for a country. That means you want to take care of your country. But the way that it was portrayed on the mainstream media was that he's suddenly now Hitler from Nazi Germany. You know, they were nationalists and, you know, all this kind of stuff, but...
Well, let's be real. Let's be real. It doesn't matter what you call it. They're all the same.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you call it. It's all one word, control.
That's right.
Control of the people. Control of the masses. And Two Dog put something in here. And Two Dog, I heard that too. The French president. He said nationalism is a threat to patriotism. Now, anybody with half a brain knows that nationalism is all about patriotism.
That's
so
right.
So here we got doublespeak again, right?
Yep.
So anybody who can think can hear this and say, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. You know, but again, we got to come back to the point being that, guys, we're not in control. It doesn't matter who you vote for. It really doesn't matter because we allow people who don't know our names, who don't know who we are, where we live, how we live, who don't even care how we live. The people in government have one aim and one aim only, and that is to control the populace and make a profit.
Yeah.
We know that governments are corporations. This is a fact. So we have no place in this. There's only one thing. There's only one thing that separates us from what we truly say we want. Freedoms. Right?
Yep.
The right to live and pursue our own happiness. And that is the only thing standing in our way.
There's a meme.
Is it government?
There's a meme out there with Uncle Sam saying, "Know your place and shut your face," and that sounds like
right.
The government.
Exactly, and your government's going to tell you you're going to war. Your government's going to tell you you're going to pay me more money. Your government's going to tell you that you're going to get this job because that education isn't for you because you don't have enough money. Everything that we do for our countries, no matter where you at, you go to work, you think you're going to work so that you can better yourself. But what you're going to work for is to support the government. not to support me. If it were the other way around, if there was truly equality, then Shaziz, you would have a lab right now. You would be creating your free energy.
Yep.
There would be free energy for everyone.
That's right.
Right?
And you know,
but you can't.
I buy my piece of land. I pay good money for my piece of land, thinking this is going to be my home, my little spot here on the world. And right out of the gate, I'm already taxed on something I already paid for. So the government,
and you don't pay for that tax.
They'll steal it from
you. You don't have land.
That's it. Right. They'll steal it from you. No matter what the value of my property is, if I don't pay their tax that they require, which is supposed to go out to, you know, basically socially take care of people, pay for schools, pay for roads, and all this kind of stuff. That's what it's supposed to do. All right, so I pay my taxes as a good citizen. If I get behind and I can't pay my taxes, they'll sell my house on the courthouse steps. But then when I get in my car and I drive down the road that I pretty much just paid for with my taxes, and a doggone chuck hole blows my tire completely off the rim and shatters the rim and tears the heck out of my car, and I call my government up and say, "Oh yeah, Mr. Government Man, you got a chuck hole in the yard, in the road that I was supposed to be paid taxes on for you to fix, and it just destroyed my car. What's the chances if I could get a little remedy here?" And they're like, "Well, that's your problem, you know."
Why? You don't even have the right to break down on the side of the road.
Yeah, they'll ticket you.
Not only ticket you, they'll tow your dang car away. Yeah. And then if you can't get to it that day, the next day when you go to get that car, you're paying $600.
Oh, yeah. And the tow companies, they're making a killing off of it, because all the lawman has to do is say, "Well, tow this car," and they'll take it there. They got it in storage. And if you ain't got no money, you don't get paid for about till the end of the month or something like that. By the time it gets around at $25 a day storage fee, you're looking at a lot of money just to get back a car that may or may not even be worth as much as you have to pay to get it out.
They can charge you as much as they want.
Yeah. And
I mean,
not to mention,
there's no limit.
You have to pay for the tow. You have to pay for the storage for as long as it's there. Now, how is that justice? You just got your stuff stolen from you, from the government, and they used a company that isn't part of the government to basically punish you for leaving your car on the side of the road when it wasn't your choice, because it was the hole in the doggone road that blew your tire off the rim. You didn't have the money for a new tire, so you pulled it off the side safely to put a sign on there, "Please don't take my car. I'll be back as soon as I got a tire." You know, and you get back, your car is gone. You call up to the lawman, "Somebody stole my car." Said, "Oh no, we didn't steal it. We impounded it because it was danger to society." Folks, don't you see where something's wrong here? You're getting basically, I can't figure out any nice word to say. You're getting screwed, essentially. And you know, so we're out here slapping the bee's nest because, you know, here it is. We don't appreciate what's being done by our government, but yet all the time while all this stuff is going on, the mainstream media, they come out there, slap the bee's nest, get you upset at your neighbor, and you go tell your neighbor, "Oh, my car got towed." Well, you shouldn't have left it on the side of the road. What?
How? Yeah. Bad citizen. Bad.
Yeah.
Well, you know? I think that these particular quotes that were given by other world leaders, and you know, so we look at the quotes, and this is the piece here where we have to be very careful of. Like I said earlier, I just don't sit there and take for fact and truth what an authority tells me. Okay, I don't. That's just not my nature. So I'm not gonna push that quote. I may research it. And when I saw this whole thing, I saw the video of Trump talking about he's a nationalist, and then he went further to describe what that really meant for him. Then I saw the mainstream media screaming their heads off about Trump, nationalism, you know, whatever. So now I said, okay, I'm going to look up what is nationalism? What does that really mean? That's where I go. And I found out, yes, there are different meanings for nationalism, okay, for being a national, different meanings. And it's across the board. It's many things, yes. Some of it is like, well, it could be not a good thing because it leads to that. But then there's the other side that says, yeah, this is about a patriot. This is about being for your country. This is about standing up for your country, and so on. And this is what Trump was indicating when he said, which of course was misquoted, misunderstood, deliberately, I'm going to say,
yep,
by other world leaders and the mainstream media, because they hate Trump, because they don't like what Trump is disclosing about their countries, the dirt within their countries, and so on. They don't like it. They hate him. So they're going to take everything that that man says and pull out the worst thing and then push it to the public. Now, if you don't have your own mind, your own critical thinking, and you just believe what an authority tells you without doing any investigation, you will not see, and you know, both sides. You have to look at both sides and then even go further with that. But if you are not willing to do that, you're just standing there nodding your head to the mainstream media and the authorities who are telling you what to believe.
To verify what you just said, I put two links into the Super Chat room. One of them is from heritage.org having to do with election fraud, and one is from Wikipedia.org dealing with election fraud. Now, if you didn't go read both of these articles, you would find, you wouldn't know that, you just, like, let's say you just read the Heritage one. Okay, they're talking about how the liberals are, you know, more apt to election fraud. And on the opposite side of the spectrum, it's the conservatives on the election fraud. So depending on which person you get your information from, you're going to disseminate, well, I can't trust the liberals. I can't trust the doggone conservatives. You see what I'm saying? Does that not verify what you just said there, Barbara?
Yeah, but I also want to talk about the authorities. So why do we call them authorities, okay? An authority has a position that they have either been given, you know, mostly it's been given, okay? They are the leaders, the elite, the authorities in all of our systems, whether it's religion, political, education, financial, whatever it is. There are authorities, okay, that tell us what to believe. Who gave these people permission? Okay, so I went to Catholic school, for instance. Okay, I grew up a Catholic. I went to Catholic school. I was told by those authorities that I was born with sin, that I am a sinner, that all babies, innocent little babies, are born with sin, and now we must confess our sins in order to be saved by this man in a dress. And there I go again, because, you know, this really gets me riled. You know, if I were the devil, I would dress men in dresses, give them lots of jewels, lots of money, okay, and they would become the authorities to tell me who I am, how bad I am, a sinner that I am, and that I must confess my sins or I'm going to go to hell, you know, blah, blah, on and on. So I'm just saying, who are these authorities? We have to wake up and know that we do have the truth within our own self. We have the wisdom within us. But, wait, the authorities have all along, ever since you were a little bitty child, told you that you don't have any knowledge, you don't have any ability, you know, you are just basically being remolded into the way they want you. So forget all the gifts and the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding that you have. Deny that. Deny who you are. Deny your sacredness. Deny the fact that we are all one people. Deny this truth. And listen to me, the authority. The authority is in all of our systems. Think about that. Who are these people? These people are all messing with us. Okay, there may be some good people out there, and I'm not going to deny that. But the majority of the ones that are really manipulating us, they are not nice people. If you believe that we have a corrupt government, that there are some people that are corrupt in our government, guess what? The whole world has corruptness within their governments. So all these people are authorities. We have the Federal Reserve. We have the core program in the education. We have the Koch brothers messing with the education system. We have the religious situation where we are told, you know, how bad and sinful we are, and listen to me, I'm between you and your Creator. I'm standing here. You must come to me first. I'm sorry. I am just sorry, but I will not do that. I am a sovereign, sacred person here. I don't need you to stand in front of me so I can communicate with my Creator. That just doesn't work that way. That's our truth. But you have to say, okay, who are you listening to? Macron, who else? Who else can we talk about? Pelosi, down the line in all different countries, these authorities are telling us. But these authorities are working together and they are all corrupt. That's a surprise,
look,
isn't it?
I just
We're listening to these authorities telling us what we can do, what we should do, what we shouldn't do, pay attention to what's actually going on in your world, in my world. Let's example censorship, the heavy hand of censorship that has taken over, websites being kicked out because they said the wrong word, conservatives being silenced.
Well, political correctness, right?
Political correctness. All of these things. Who is this hurting? And where is the authority saying this is not right? Nobody's saying that. Nobody's saying that. They're allowing this censorship to go across the board. I mean, people are being arrested. People are being beaten. People are having their websites and their monetary system shut down. Yes, because they are being censored. This is worse than communism because there's no rule of law here that says that this is legal, right? There's no lawful law that says they have a right to censor you, especially in this country. But guess what? It's happening, right? And the quote authorities are going full steam ahead, pitting us against each other while they're rolling out these systems that are taking us into 1984, that are taking us into Aldous Huxley's A Brave New World. This is the scary part, is that while we're sitting here throwing stones at each other because we're red or we're blue or we're in the middle or whatever, we're losing ground on a extreme level. We need to stop this.
You have to
You
have to stop being run and organized by the political authorities, period. You have to step away from the political, the education, all these authorities in our life were set there in place deliberately to mind control us down the journey, down the road, down the pathway, incrementally leading us into, the brave new world. So we have to stop it. It's up to each one of us. You know, if you're stuck with this whole, this person said that, this authority said that, but you're not looking at them as an authority, but you have to get this into your mind. We are being run and ruled and brainwashed by the authorities, okay? So you have to, everything that you see on mainstream media, in the political arena, every arena, you have to say, there are authorities in that system that are telling me what to do, what to think, how to behave, and so on. You have to step away from that. You have to become your own person again. We have to come back to that unity with each other, that we all want the same thing. You can say, if we all sat in a room with a whole bunch of different people from all over the world and we started talking, we would come to find out and realize that without the authorities in that room, we would come to find out that we all want the same thing. We all do want the same thing. We all want the good things for our children, our grandchildren. We all want to leave a better world for them. We all need clean water, healthy foods, and so on. If there were no authorities in that room, our eyes would be awakened, and we would see that all people are really the same. Yeah. But the authorities tell us that we are not the same. You see, the authorities are pointing fingers at so-and-so, and this, and that person, and this. And so if you want to play their game, if you are stuck in that game, I feel sorry for you, because how are we ever going to come together if we abide and live according to what the authorities are telling us.
Well, here's the thing. Because we're getting two different sides of the story and we can't never trust the evidence from the government or the actual mainstream media or the election officials and such, I'm posting a link inside the chat room. It's kind of humorous, but to me anyway. But do you remember back in the old days when they talked about this thing that they had for bank robbers? Like the bank robber, he goes into the bank, he sticks the place up, they put money in a bag, and he gets out there, he gets in his car to go, after he gets makes his getaway, he goes to look in the bag to check out his take and all that stuff, and all of a sudden this exploding thing explodes blue dye all over him and all the money. So pretty much he can't sit there and deny that he done stole that money. Oh, it wasn't me, you know. And so maybe we need to do this to the election booths, that if anybody tampers with them until all the votes are legally counted, this particular stuff that they're talking about here is some sort of, it says, missing link, the invisible DNA spray helping catch crooks. It says Tanya Jolie's business is built on a product that mainly invisible. She's the co-founder and chief executive of a DNA guardian solution, which has created a device that sprays people involved in criminal activity with a unique DNA marker. Basically, it shows up under an ultraviolet light. So maybe the election officials should be like standing in a room with a black light, and if they got any of this material on them, you know they've been tampering with the ballots. What do you think? I know it sounds ridiculous, but come on. How you?
Well, what happens is it sounds really good, and everybody says yay, and then they start using it against everybody.
Yeah, everybody's got to die on them, so you're all cheating.
Well, look at this. We've been looking at this Brave New World because it came up in our face through a certain quote, and we may not get into it here on this show. Maybe Patty and I will get into this one rabbit hole on our own show.
Well, we got
tomorrow.
More time. Let's hear it.
Well, I want to say that what we're being inundated with. So, Gaz put up sexual promiscuity is a citizen's duty, and that comes from The Brave New World, Aldous Huxley's movie, The Brave New World. I suggest you all check that movie out. Now, talking about sexual promiscuity is a citizen's duty. All right, now, Aldous Huxley, when was that, sis, that he wrote that book?
Was it the 30s?
Very early on. So now, this sexual promiscuity, what do we see today happening in our world with this sexual promiscuity? This wave of, trans this, trans that, Hollywood sexual promiscuity, blatantly out there.
They're taking it into libraries with kids.
Well, they're taking it into libraries with kids. They're taking it into schools. Their children are being educated, re-educated into this sexual promiscuity, basically teaching children about things that you as an adult probably don't even know. I'm just saying. And this whole thing, transgender, allowing your child, basically introducing your child to what it is to be a transgender or a, I don't know, what do you want to call it?
Said drag queens.
Well, that's one piece. That's one part of it, small part of it, really. Now you have people saying that pedophilia is normal and we should basically embrace those people. I saw a TED talk, believe it or not, on that very subject. Okay? So, we're being inundated with this systematic breakdown of morals, I feel.
We're being reprogrammed with a new definition of morals.
Exactly.
Yep, that's it.
And they're starting from very early childhood, introducing this breakdown. There are no, this is what's going on. This is how this system has worked through our generations. I'm 75. You guys are behind me, not very far behind me. But my parents, my grandparents, yours and so on, they have all been brainwashed into certain, you know, beliefs and behaviors. And here we are, we've reached this pinnacle of the moral dilemma, where you see all kinds of things that we're being told that's normal, that's
well,
okay.
Well, when I was 12 years old, it was pretty common for people to dress like clowns, you know. It's just a funny thing, because you went to the circus and the clowns, they all, like 20 of them, got into one little tiny car or something like that. So it was a clown. But now the 12-year-olds in the library are dressing up like drag queens. So we went from a clown to a drag queen. You see, that's a heck of a leap, and I'm only 53 years old. That's a heck of a leap in the last 20, 30 years as far as I'm concerned. You know, okay, to each his own. You dress the way you want. You're an adult. You do what you want. But when you take it in there and you're pretty much putting it over to the kids like this is something normal, all right, maybe it is normal to that person, but it's not the time for that young mind to be introduced to something that they may or may not, you know, understand. You see what I'm saying? It's kind of like when I was talking about that little kid that wanted to grow up to be an army man.
Listen, there are certain times in our life when we're ready to understand things.
Yeah.
And you can't force this upon, it creates confusion. You know?
What about the other kids sitting around there that, you know, were raised with a different moral belief, and they see this other kid dressed like this, you know, the confusion that you just explained? If I was a kid, when I was growing up and I dressed up like a clown, you know, I understood that's what that was. But when you're now talking about mixing a couple genders and dressing up almost like a clown, I mean, maybe that sounds rude, apologize if it does, but some of these get-ups that they wear not only have disgusting, you know, sexual innuendos or toys on them or whatever, and then you got this being exposed to children in a library.
Well, they are actually teaching the children how to use sex toys.
Well, see, that's something that doesn't have any place in school. That's
all right, but listen, who are they? These are the authorities. Like, we have to keep remembering, who is teaching our children? Who is allowing this? The so-called authorities are making these determinations for our children.
The parents are allowing it.
Well, also, the parents are allowing the authorities.
Also, after 9/11,
tell them your child needs this education. Okay, this is, again, we have to keep remembering. Yeah, the parents are allowing them because they're dumbed down by the authorities. I'm just saying.
But also after 9/11, because all these people are all constantly always talking about separation of church and state, which I can understand. You know, I don't think you should teach certain things in school. But if you are going to teach certain things in school, you should teach both sides of the story, both evolution and creation, so that people can actually discern for themselves as they grow up and become more educated, you know, what that truth is. But you actually saw a deal. There was a video that was played out here a while back where the schools were talking about they had to teach children about Muslims and Islam and all that because of what happened during 9/11 and the fact that it was a certain group that they said did this, and they felt that was going to cause discrimination to that specific group. Now you introduced a religion into the school and was going to teach the young children about, you know, how to pray as a Muslim and how to learn all these things as a Muslim. Don't
get me
wrong.
Because that's politically correct.
Yeah, but don't get me wrong. I'm not against Muslim. That's not what I'm saying.
Well, yes, you are. You see, you see, this is, you're being politically incorrect.
The hypocrisy.
According to the new laws here.
Yeah, but the hypocrisy of, we're going to put this in there because it's politically correct or socially acceptable, and try to teach these kids not to discriminate against a specific group, where on the other hand, the little kid carrying the Bible in the church or the school isn't allowed to do that. You can't say, "In God We Trust," make the kids say the Pledge of Allegiance anymore, things like that in certain portions of the school. So this...
Well, you can see, obviously, that all the things, certain things are being wiped away throughout society, and also other things are being introduced. And the things that are being introduced are very disturbing. In this movie, The Brave New World, Aldous Huxley's Brave New World, Basically what happened was the societies were probably going through what we're going through right now, being introduced and brainwashed, you know, incrementally brainwashed to be, you know, like puppets, robots, and so on. And then there were others who didn't fit that cat, who refused. Let's say it's us. We refused.
They were made to be workers.
Yeah.
Workers consume by.
And taking the pills. And taking a pill to dumb them
down. Selma.
Selma. Think of Selma. Selma, California. I'm just saying. So, yeah. So then you have another faction going on. You have part of the population who railed against this, who refused to submit to taking this daily pill.
The savages.
This happy pill. They were called the savages, and they were basically sent out into the part of the world, separated, walled off, and they were disenfranchised from the major population. They were called the savages. That's us. You guys, we'd be the savages today. You know, remember who they called the savages, right?
Yeah.
Our indigenous relatives were called savages, and they were basically ostracized or punished or murdered or killed or whatever outside of society. So all they did was funnel a major part of the society into where we are today. We, outside here talking like this, are the savages. I'm just going to say it. Yeah, we're not playing their game. I'm not taking that pill.
No.
I'm not going to take that.
But one of the things that's scariest about this whole entire process is what's going on. Not only did Paul Harvey mention all this back in his deal in 1965, but you actually see good people all over the world that are quite literally being desensitized from all the madness that nothing surprises them anymore. And so, yeah, well, these folks can dress like this. Like, whenever I see somebody... And don't get me wrong, to each your own, you do what you want. But if you look like you fell face first into a fishing tackle box and you got all these lures hanging off your face and you got these big giant holes in your ears, that's not normal to me. All right, but after I've seen it over and over and over and over again, I get to the point where, yeah, it's kind of weird. I don't know why somebody would do that to themselves, but hey, that's the world we live in today. You see what I'm trying to point out here?
Well, you know, I've always felt that what people do in their own life behind their closed doors is their business. It's not up to me to tell them how to live their life, okay? Because that's what was happening with the authorities are telling us. But so it's not my business what people do behind closed doors and in their little world. When they start introducing their ideas and their lifestyle into the arena of our children and our grandchildren, that's when it starts getting very concerning.
Yep. When I see an upside down cross because of my spiritual journey that I'm on, I get offended by it. I think there's something wrong with that. But I don't go up there and say, hey, look, you know, you're offending me with this doggone upside down cross, because, you know, to me that's disrespectful. But, you know, I still don't go up there and tell these people, oh, you know, that's wrong or whatever, anything like that. I don't try to push my beliefs or my spiritual journey on them. I'm desensitized myself, or I'm desensitized from all the craziness. You know, at one time in society, there were certain things you just wouldn't say out there in public. You just wouldn't say them because most people were raised up with some sort of moral beliefs that there are certain things that are wrong. Like, for example, the one that really burns my hide these days is how easy it is for people to run around and call women the B word. And even some women call themselves the B word. It's sort of funny, you know, to them anyway. To me, it's like it's degrading to women. Why would you want to call the technical terminology for that particular word is a female dog? I don't look at any of the women or girls in my family as female dogs. You know, they might have
the people did that to the indigenous women. The word squaw, and some people even use it today, and that's a derogatory, very nasty term.
See, I never even knew where that term even came from. The word squaw, I never knew where that term even came from. It just showed up one day. You know, I saw it in movies and stuff, you know. But.
Well, it came very early on, of course, in our early government warring against the indigenous people, or the trying, the attempt, you know, it's the attempt to eliminate a people who had the wisdom, the original instructions. And this is where we are today, is that we have all forgotten our original instructions on how to be in this world, how to live together as a people, as nations, of one nation's, you know, people,
yeah,
the children of the earth. So the whole point is, from the beginning, it is to basically divide the people, eliminate the truth, insert new truths that are lies, brainwash the people into the systematic, incremental, you know, place where they're bringing to stay over generations and generations. But, you know, when you have people and nations who have maintained and sustained the original instructions on how to live on the earth in harmony and balance, basically through ceremony and knowledge and wisdom handed down through generations of the elders, and you have another faction who's already lost that wisdom incrementally, they were already gone, they were removed, disconnected from their original instructions and the way to be, and they come upon a people, a nation here on Turtle Island who are still maintaining this wisdom and this connectedness, truth, and basically the original instructions. You have to eliminate those people. You had the clan mother system, which is basically the highest position in the indigenous culture of the clan mothers, you know, and in relation to the grandfathers and the grandmothers in that system, they determined through wisdom and knowledge for the good of the whole, okay, and that had to be eliminated. Because who came to this country here right off the bat, onto Turtle Island's land, were men and women from across the big waters, basically, where women were enslaved. Women had no rights at all. So they come here on this land where women are standing in position as chiefs and determining whether to go to war or not, or what's best for the whole of the people. So they had to eliminate that. But this is not just the first part of this. This story goes back to the beginning of time, because it is about the sacred feminine / sacred masculine, harmony and balance and unity. And today we are being subjected to basically separation and divide and divisiveness. That's where we are. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I get it. That, you know, basically, Barry's just showed up. Barry, we're talking about slapping the bees.
Well, we can tell Barry showed up, because I heard this pounding.
Yeah, we're subjected to this keyboard trauma.
I forget to mute all the time. Good morning, guys.
Yeah, we're talking about slapping the bee's nest to believe or not to believe. So I hope you understand what that's all about.
Yeah, I woke up late today, actually, and I just started listening in on the conversation here. Making my second cup of coffee, I'll be good to talk in about 3 minutes.
Cool. Well, enjoy your coffee. Mute your mic so we don't have to listen to you texting all your brothers and sisters.
Okay, I'll mute out.
All right.
I'm going to jump in here real quick. Okay? I'm in.
Yay!
I want to talk about a slippery slope. When you're talking about the religion being part of the government, religion being part of the school, I don't see that as something that should be. Especially in this country, there are many, many, many religions.
Yep.
If you're not going to allow every religion into school, then you shouldn't allow any religions in the school. I'm just saying.
That's what I was saying.
I'm not saying that you shouldn't be able to bring a Bible to school if you want, and on your break have a couple of friends or whatever book or whatever, a fellowship of whatever, on when you're not in the classroom. That's different to me.
Yeah, I agree.
But here we are today. We are allowing the government to do things to our children and our lives that we should be doing. We want them, or we're allowing them to have these people, the drag queens, go to libraries and read to our children, because we're taking our children there. the way it used to be was that if you did not want this in your community, then the community said, we don't want this in our community. You took yourself away from that, and whatever that problem was went away because they were not welcome there. They would go find their little pocket wherever. That's the way it should work. We can't say that we want to be free and pursue our own happiness and say to the guy down the street, you can't do that though. But what we can say is, look, in our community, this is the way we are.
Yeah.
You have to go elsewhere. We have to stop letting the government tell us what is acceptable and what is not. We need to stand up and take our responsibility back. And that's what we did. We gave up our responsibility toward our children when we allowed them to tell us that our children will be taught this way, that our children will wear this, that our children can't do this, that we can and can't do this. We are the ones who have the onus on protecting our children, not the government. The government is got a whole different agenda than what we have. When we have our children, they're ours. We protect them. We teach them. If you want your child to have morals, you can't expect a school to teach your child morals, because that school will do what the state says to do, because that's what they get paid for.
Well,
you are the one that's responsible for teaching your child.
Yep.
And if you're not teaching your child, then the state is. So we have to learn how to be responsible again.
Let me slap one more bee's nest, because this happened during the Obama administration. And it really blew my doors off, because the way that I understand the government's supposed to be a neutral party that, enforces the laws, writes the laws, interprets the laws. So we got the executive, legislative, and the judicial branch of government that's supposed to be the mediators and the representation of all the people combined. So they, by definition, should be a neutral party that only goes by what the laws of the Constitution and the rights and all that kind of stuff there. And so, with that said, and, you know, this, like, I'm really going to slap a bee's nest here, so I hope I don't offend nobody, but I'm not against, gay pride or anything like that. But during the Obama administration, if you look hard enough, you'll find it. They actually projected the symbol of the gay pride flag up onto the side of the White House. All right, now keep in mind that there's a lot of people that believe in that, and there's a lot of people that don't believe in that. But to me, the moment you put that up on the people's house, you just in their face to all the other people who that might not find that as, you know, the right thing for society. If you understand what I'm trying to say here. It's not just the fact that one deal occurred under one particular administration. It's the same concept of keeping your churches and the state separate. You're not having kids being indoctrinated to any given religion or any point of view in school. But what we're seeing here today is contrary to all of that.
Well, the thing of it is, she says, when was the last time you saw a heterosexual flag on the White House?
That's it. Why wouldn't one side by side or something? Everybody's represented.
Or none at all.
Yeah, that's it. So all religions in the school or no religions in the school, both sides of the story or neither side of the story in the school. That's it, basic fairness as far as I'm concerned. I mean, you're teaching little kids that might come from a Christian or a Buddhist or a Muslim family that we were all monkeys. In the history, we were all raised up to be monkeys, and this is the story that we're going to tell you in school. This is what science says, and this is the truth. Where now you got a little bit of confusion as that child is looking up there at the screen and seeing that there's a chain of history where you was you know, Neanderthal and all the way back to a monkey and maybe down to a little squiggly thing in the water, and then they go home and ask the mom and dad, I thought God was the one that made us. The school says that we all came from monkeys. You know, you see where that could be harmful to, you know, somebody being able to be a free thinker? If you're going to show both sides, saying this side believes that we all evolved from monkeys, and this side believes that there's a divine creator that made us all in their image or whatever, however your spiritual thing started. I'm trying to be fair to everybody. But if you're only telling one side of the story in there, just like any one side of any kind of news media with any agenda behind it, how can these kids honestly grow up to even be even remotely close to the truth when they're constantly being bombarded by this is what you have to believe, ridiculed for what this is what you believe, so you're either a tinfoil hat or you're stupid. You see what I'm trying to say here?
You know what's really telling? You know what is really telling? Between the difference between government and the difference between community is government will segregate. Community will bring together.
Yep.
And the way you see this, you have, say, here in the town where I live, once a year they have a festival, right? And everybody comes out. Now, there are gay people, there are straight people, there are Protestants, there are Catholics, Baptists, Democrats, Republicans, all different ideologies, all different faiths, all different sexual orientations. And you know what? They come together. They have a good time. They buy things from each other. They laugh together. They celebrate together. And they go home just as happy as they were. Not once did they stand up and say, hey, are you Catholic? Get away.
Yeah.
Are you gay? Get away. They don't do that.
That's right.
They don't ask because it's not in their face. Because it's not something that is infringing upon themselves. That's what the difference is. Government says you will acknowledge these people. You will give them leeway. You will raise them up. When they don't need to be, because they're equal with you in your community.
If you don't, we as the government will throw you in jail. Look what happened with that doggone dude over there in the UK, the one that for talking about what was going on with the child trafficking kind of deal, or pedophilia or whatever. For him out there exercising his free speech, he spent some time in jail. I don't know if he ain't back there yet. But, it's like you got this crazy hypocrisy that goes on. On one hand, you can protest if you're on one side of the fence, but if you're on the other side of the fence and you're protesting, then that makes you a racist or a xenophobe or homophobe or liberal or whatever. Look, this divide and conquer stuff, most of the time it's perpetuated by a government propaganda machine, but sometimes it's also perpetrated by the individuals who already believe in something, they already have their mind made up to something, and they want to get everyone else to come over to their way of thinking, and then when they don't come over to their way of thinking, then they want to get violent about it. And then they want to use what would have otherwise been a right as a weapon. You see what I mean? There's where our society has a serious problem. If you're using your rights as a weapon to take away somebody else's rights, then you got to expect that you're going to have this kind of situation going on in your communities. And all of this stuff, I feel like every single bit of what we've talked about here today was a planned, organized deal, and I think that's why that speech that JFK had said about how we were up against this vast conspiracy, I think that's the reason why they shot him. Honestly, that's my personal opinion over, you know, what actually occurred during the whole deal. I think it was the inside factions of our government, and for me to say that means I am a conspiracy nutcase. But if you look, step back and you're looking at the big picture and you're intellectually honest with yourself and others, it's intentional. That they murdered that man because they wanted to keep their power structure in place. They murdered that man because he wanted to inform the general public of the truth. And he's probably not the only one in history, you know, that had been, whatever you think of Gaddafi, you know, whether he was or wasn't a bad guy, they murdered that man right there in public, and one of our supposed elected officials laughed and wringed her hands like some little demon about how we came and we saw and he died, and the public didn't freak out over that. You just witnessed a murder. They didn't take him to court. They didn't take him to a trial. He wasn't standing there shooting at him. They basically killed him right there in public, and it was okay. It's not okay. If you want a right to a free trial and your doggone it, what's the words I'm looking for, about going through the process of actually being charged with something, you got these rights that you're supposed to have, innocent until proven guilty, a jury of your peers and such. He didn't get that. And then one of our elected officials is sitting there wringing her hands and grinning about it. We came, we saw, and he died. Ha ha ha. You know, if anybody out there don't see something wrong with that picture, I feel bad for you. I don't know what. But I feel like this world has become so desensitized to the ridiculousness of this, and we're being blindsided where that holding up that one hand, and you got your eyes on that one hand, and they're getting ready to slap each and every one of us. And each time that these kind of incidents happen, whether it be a school shooting or anything, our rights get thinner and thinner and thinner. And by the time it's all said and done, when the Constitution is finally up and erased, and these folks that are out there advocating for no more America, you know, we got American citizens that are out there advocating for no more America. Now, I get it. We, as our history shows, we have done some atrocities to people that were here before our America ever even showed up. I get that. But now we're all here. We're all in the same boat. We have to make the best of a bad situation. We got to find a way to heal the past, to make things right with one another, and move forward into the future. Otherwise, there will be no America. And what's it going to be after America? What's it going to be then? You know? And so that's why I'm posing all these questions to the world. That's why I'm out here slapping the bee's nest. Because if these folks actually get what it is that they profess that they want, no more America, what's next? What's next?
Think of this. While we are so busy talking about what our government is doing, the circus that's being played out across the globe, whatever country you're in, if you look up in the sky, you see lines of clouds in the sky that are falling down on you, chemtrails. Yeah. If you, the food that you're eating has been genetically modified. The health system that you rely on is poisoning you and making you sicker for a buck. The school system is dumbing you down. All of these things are happening as we're sitting here fighting each other over who's the POTUS, who's the guy in charge. And none of these things that are actually harming us are getting fixed. None of it. So what is your government doing for you that you're fighting over?
Yeah, what's happening behind the scenes? There may very well be an alien cover up out there in this world.
There is an alien cover up, my friend.
Well, let's hear about it, because nothing surprises me anymore.
Well, I just want to make this quote here, first of all. This is just another thing that's happening in our face while you're focused on who is POTUS, what's POTUS saying, what POTUS is doing, and blah, blah, blah. Is the Bible said that God made man in his own image. The German philosopher Ludwig Feuerbach said that man made God in his own image. But the transhumanists say that humanity will make itself into God. This is where we're heading. So all these things are... Don't look over here, though.
No.
Don't look over there. Don't look here, look there. Pay attention to what the mainstream media is telling you, what the political agenda is pushing you into, you know, divisiveness and so on, and all the vitriol that is being pushed to pit us against each other. While all this other stuff is going on, the chemtrails, the pesticides, GMOs, the basically, you know, right across the board, the water being polluted, the die-offs of animals, the immunizations, rising cancers. This is what's going on. What is important to you? Is it, you know, a couple of words that somebody says who happens to be, you know, tagged as a Nazi, who's not a Nazi, but really is being tagged as a Nazi? Or,
trigger words.
To rile people up and get them basically focused in the direction the authorities want us to be focused, while all these other things are going on that are really affecting our lives. Global warming, you know, what a farce. But nobody's looking at the, you know, takedown of the rainforest, the lungs of the Mother Earth. You know, nobody's looking at the corporate rule here, the corporate, basically the corporate government that we're headed for, or the military government that we're headed for, you know. Where are we headed for? Are you paying attention? What is your focus? What is your priority? It's not going to matter who's president or what anybody says if we can't drink the water and we can't breathe the air and our children are dying due to various, you know, introductions of pesticides and vaccines and pharmaceuticals. And it's just not going to matter. So, but they don't want us to know these things. They want you to be pitted against each other and be screaming at each other and standing on the one political side or the other political side or screaming about you know, a so-called president or whatever. None of that's going to matter. They have us basically brainwashed to do their bidding while they incrementally move us incrementally forward and forward and forward. All these other things, you know, are happening all around us. Yeah.
And the question should be, is why aren't you fixing these things? You know, we should be up in arms and asking our local, state, regional, and federal governments, what the frickin' heck are you going to do about this? Because they're not doing anything. They don't talk about it. If they do talk about it, oh, it's a study. We haven't actually started chemtrailing yet. And when you look up, you see the lines in the sky. I saw a video of Congress, the halls of Congress, where they went in and they asked them about chemtrails. And the senators and the congressmen and everybody says, oh, well, that's still in talks. We're just discussing that. While outside, above the halls of Congress, they were chemtrailing.
So they're liars. We know it, right?
So why are they not?
Yeah.
You know, what a big... You want to vote for somebody? You have somebody stand up and say, hey, these chemtrails are killing people. We're going to stop this. Boom. You got votes. Hey, this health system is killing us. We're going to revamp. Boom. You got votes. The water is toxic. We're going to fix that. Boom. You got votes. But none of that gets mentioned. So you have to ask yourself, who exactly are they representing you?
Well, all they do in the political arena these days, if you notice, is their political agenda, what they stand for, is against the other party. Calling them names, calling them this, calling... That's the political argument today.
It's like watching the Jerry Springer show.
It's nothing about what Patty just said. Nobody's talking about those things.
Nope.
They're talking about, they're pointing fingers and calling names of the other person they're running against. That's where we are today. That's what's going on. That's no debate.
And you know,
it's just mudslinging.
You can't even get a hold of your congressman or your senator unless you get extremely lucky. But if you do happen to get them on the phone, they get you off the phone so quick and basically shuffle any of your concerns off to the side. Like, as soon as they hang up the phone, well, there's another one of them nutcase conspiracy guys. Click and it goes file 9, you know, or the trash can or whatever. So they didn't even pay attention to what your concerns were. Now, for you to mention chemtrails to a congressman, And it being right above the Congress House, would they take the time to go outside and look upstairs? No, yeah, you're right. That don't look normal. No, they
well,
don't do that.
Actually, now now it's chemtrails are actually being pushed as it's a different term, which maybe Patty knows, but it's not chemtrails now. What it is it's a solution to global warming, basically to introduce this shield above us. That has the same particles.
Operation Solar Shield.
Yeah, there you go. Operation Solar Shield. So now it makes it okay. It has the correct name. And they're telling people, well, this is how we're going to save the world from global warming. And people are going, yay! So they're poisoning us with Operation Solar Shield. It came out of Harvard by this jerk. I'm going to call him a jerk. Because I had a conversation with him on email because I was like, what, you know, I was outraged and basically said, you're on the wrong side of history. I talked to him about Rachel Carlson's Silent Spring, you know, do you know about this and so on. Of course, he said, oh, yeah, I read Rachel Carlson's Silent Spring when I was a young man, but, you know, this is serious, what's happening, we have to have a solution. He basically just rolled right over me. And over my suggestions that he's poisoning the earth. We are being poisoned incrementally, and why would you do such a thing? You're on the wrong side of history. You know, so, but now it's okay. Now, because it's now shielding us from global warming, which is a farce in itself. And these people who stand up for global warming and screaming about global warming, they are on the wrong side of history.
And they even try to say they want to throw you in jail for being a denier. Did you hear that?
Yeah, well, of course, they're going to throw you in jail for being a denier of everything that they are presenting to us.
That's it.
You're the savages. We are the savages. We're the nutcases, the wackadoodles. Now we're called, now we're savages.
So, wait a second. They were talking about global warming, and you know that's a touchy subject for me because I'm the mad science deal. I'm giving them solutions all day long, every day, every time while we're on these shows. I'm giving them tons and tons of alternatives to resolve what they say is that issue. But yet they never do it. And then when it comes down to time where people decide they want to go off grid and put a solar panel set up or a wind turbine, instead of encouraging that kind of action because, hey, this is reducing carbon footprint, right? No, they turn around and want to find this guy because it wasn't their company that paid for the solar panels or whatever. It wasn't power company wasn't going to get the funds from it if they were, you know, if they were connected to the grid or not connected to the grid. Either way, the power company loses money, and so that means they can come in and do whatever.
How many people do we know? You can look this up if you people are doubtful of this. How many people do we know who have presented alternatives to energy, free energy, medicines, healing,
tons.
Health, and that are dead?
A lot. Too many.
How many people out there that we know of who basically are speaking the truth who are dead, who suicided themselves or whatever, jumped off a building, stabbing themselves.
And the ones who ain't dead are getting kicked off the internet.
That too.
Or the 100 holistic doctors that have been murdered in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, I'd like to, you know, my thoughts today, guys, really are with the people in California. They are experiencing the worst fires in California history right now.
Well, you didn't hear the first part of my show.
I didn't, honestly, I didn't, but it was something that's on my mind, Barbara, so if I'm reiterating...
Well,
it is
happening there, but there's other things behind this, you see.
Of course there is, Barbara.
And Donald Trump, President Trump talked about these things, and they are a systematic, basically, taking down of the preventions of forest fires. He talked about that, and he was basically raked over the coals about that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's documents that show that they eliminated certain, I guess you'd say, preventative measures, and it's all about money. Follow the money. It's all about money because the government pays them money for these disasters.
I think it's also part and due to compartmentalizing people into to big cities, you know, driving people out of the
country.
That's
part of it, too. That's Agenda 21 to 30.
It's also Agenda 21.
That's right.
If we talk about chemtrails, you know, we've seen a real acceleration of the amount of chemtrailing that's been done on the Earth in the last 3 years. If you look at kind of what's been going on in the last 3 years as opposed to prior You'll see that they really ramped up the program, and we also are seeing wildfires right now like we've never seen before.
Well, we've seen earthquakes. We've seen all these earth things that are going in. Patty and I was talking about, we were talking about this, okay.
Yeah, but
we know that there are certain things that are being manipulated deliberately, like these jumping fires that burn, you know, to ashes, a house and a structure.
Well, spray,
the trees around it are...
If we spray accelerants in the air on a constant basis, nano-sized particles of aluminum, beryllium, strontium, beryllium, potassium, iodide, there's actual patents in place right now for the chemical compounds they're using in this solar shield agenda.
Yeah, but you also have this, you also have this certain technology that people have noticed strange...
directed energy.
Directed energy, exactly.
Yeah.
That's going on with these fires, but you have to look at, yeah, the agenda, it's just across the board here where everything is being manipulated and horrible. I mean, people are losing their lives, and then you have millions of acres, nature, animals, all kinds of things being destroyed. But we were talking about the natural changes and man-made changes, you know. Today we have to look at the cycles of the earth, the sun, for instance, the... Yeah, Patty says directed energy weapon. And Patty can talk more to this piece about the sun flares and what's going on with the sun than I can. She's, you know, she's done more into that than I. Right, Patty?
Yeah. But Barry, I'm going to give Barry to a couple of minutes to... I know it's hard. It's hard. Yeah, well, you bury the mic for a little bit.
Well, he was just talking. Oh, okay. I'll be quiet. I'm going to mute now. I went for coffee. I went to the bathroom. I did all these things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm starting to sip on my second cup of coffee here.
This
and
is mine.
But it's not just you, Barb. It's all of us.
Well,
there's so much to be said here, and very little time to say it. We're all basically on the same page. We all see what's going on. And we're just trying to bring it out to people and offer solutions.
Yeah.
In British Columbia here this year, we had the worst fire year in our history of the province. We're seeing this happen worldwide, and of course, a lot of it is, I believe, being done by directed energy weapons. But the accelerants that are being sprayed in our sky are metal-based particulates, and they are going to end up on the earth, and they're going to end up on our trees. And of course, the fires seem to be burning a lot harder. A lot faster, uncontrolled fires right now. Definitely a correlation between the two events. We're breathing this stuff every day.
Well,
it's unbelievable.
What you're saying, Barry,
and I've seen it. I've seen it up here now. You know, we never used to see it up here ever. But now we see them spraying up here.
If they keep doing what they're doing, we were talking, you know, basically in jest about slapping the bee's nest. But if they honestly keep doing what they're doing, there ain't going to be no bee's nest to slap as far as nature goes.
Well, yeah, the insanity of these people, you know, they talk about bringing the population down to a manageable level of 500 million people, Agenda 2030, Agenda 21, the Georgia Guidestone, it's all there, the documentation. But my question to them is, these people that are involved in all these programs that are destroying our biosphere, destroying our health, destroying everything that's sacred, they are destroying, well, they're shooting themselves in the foot. Because when the smoke clears, there, like you said, Jesus, there isn't going to be a planet for them to enjoy. That's where we're going with the Earth.
They're leaving
right
the planet. See, this is the whole thing.
They're going hard.
This is the whole hidden thing about space travel, about the ETs, about the technology. You see, this is a whole other show.
Yeah,
they're not worried. They got they're all set. It's just us, the people, the savages, that are going to be left here to deal with what they're doing.
Why would you want to go live on another country, another planet where you can't step outside and walk in the forest and enjoy the birds?
Well, we don't know. We don't know
where
that is.
That's insanity. We have a beautiful planet right here. We're going to destroy it to go to another planet? I don't understand their thinking.
I don't understand their madness. It's all madness to me.
Of
so how can we understand it?
You can't.
I'm just saying, we don't have that answer. They're the ones that are insane. They're the ones that are doing this stuff. And you say, yeah, why would they want to do it? That's a good question.
Well, but they're insane.
I think the reason why we're allowing them to do it, essentially, because we, the people, actually do have a lot of power, more power than we can possibly imagine. But I think the reason why we are allowing them to do it is because we're so doggone distracted with all this other craziness going on. It doesn't matter which direction you look. Either they're chemtrailing on one side, they're at war with somebody else on the opposite side, they're cheating on the elections, they're lying and propagandizing. All meanwhile, back at the ranch, old Snively Whiplash has his hand in the cookie jar, and guess who's paying for those cookies? We are. That's it. That's the whole entire deal. Why would anybody want to manipulate your way of thinking if it wasn't for a purpose to give them either more power or more money in their pockets? There's a reason why they do all these things. You know, some of them just might be downright, just flat out evil. But how in the heck some of these people that dislike, it's like watching some bad series, movie series or whatever, that you got the bad guy who turns out to be the good guy, who turns out to be the bad guy again, and back and forth is all this drama going, playing out, and you think the good people are winning, and then the bad people come along again. It's back and forth constantly, but it's always the same doggone players basically playing musical chairs in front of your very eyes, switching seats. You see what I mean?
I think I know. What is going, why they're doing what they're doing to the air, the water, the food, the health. There's an agenda, and we all know what the agenda is. It's globalism. It's a corporate style globalism. New. Not socialism,
take your
not
chip.
Communism, not nationalism, but corporatism.
Take your ID card.
You get the global community of people to move toward this system that they want to bring about? Well, you have to give them a reason. There has to be a reason. So if you can't grow food anymore, and your weather and disasters are so rampant that you can no longer live where you were living because of fires, floods, tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes, tsunamis, da 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 da, your health is so bad now, all of these things that are debilitating, that are tearing the system, the people, and the support of the system down, the people are going to cry out, please help us. And they have a solution. We know this. We know the routine, don't we, Barry?
Problem, reaction, solution. And they use it again and again and again because it works. We talk about all
order
the
out of chaos.
Do. Well, of course, and chaos could be created in our society in a blink of an eye. Literally in the blink of an eye, simply by crashing the financial system. They control the money. They have that chip in their hand. At any moment, they could take a pin and burst the bubble. And society worldwide, not just in North America, but worldwide, would be thrown into a total state of chaos in the matter of, 24, 48 hours. Well, of course, along comes the government with the solution. And people, like you said, Shaziz, when the human mind, we know this, when the human mind is subjected to a state of chaos, there's a scream in that brain, and that scream will listen to any voice that will take it away. And along comes the government with the answer. Go back to work, guys. Put this little chip in your hand. We're bringing in a new monetary system. All the old debt is wiped out. Go back to work, watch your hockey game, and everything's fine. And that's what I see coming.
Ordo ab chao, basically the Latin deal for order out of chaos.
New world.
Yep, George Orwell,
yep.
1984.
Yep. It's right in our faces, guys.
Look, that's a, if you're the corporations, you got a lot of power. You can fight amongst each other for that power. But in order to get that power and maintain that power, you have to have a couple things on your side. You have to have the money on your side. You have to have the people on your side. And since the people are out there working for the money, you got to have the media. You got to have factions of the government. So if you're a good person and you go to the Congress and the Senate and then you get in there and find out what it's really like in the Congress and the Senate and the White House, you might find out that as soon as you get there, you're taken off into the back room and some shady characters are telling you, okay, well, I know what you said during your campaign. And that all sounds good, but that's not how it works out here. We're going to give you an opportunity. One opportunity if you want to stay here and be a representative. You're going to toe the line, so to speak. Or they actually put honey traps out there for them. So they fall in these honey traps, and now you've got some sort of dirt on this individual. Now they'll vote your perspective way. Because if you actually pay attention to what's going on whenever they do, like, it don't matter, CNN, MSNBC, all the mainstream media, when there are certain congressmen come out there that look like, wow, this is a really good guy, and I trust what he's saying, everything I want to hear. But then again, when it comes down to an actual prosecution of somebody who potentially committed a crime, suddenly they're kind of apologetic for it. Well, you know, they didn't really intend on doing that, so we're not going to throw them in jail for, you know, having all these illegal emails or whatever, or burning up, destroying all these ballots and stuff. That wasn't their intention. You know, it was accidental. If any one of us sitting here talking would have committed even a fraction of the crimes that they have told us that each side has done, we'd all be so far underneath the jail, we would be speaking Chinese, flat out.
Well, if we did what the banks do, Shizis, we'd be in jail.
Yeah!
If we were allowed to manipulate currencies the way the banks are and bring in fiat currencies and fractional banking, we'd be in jail for 50 years, but the government blesses it, endorses it, because it runs the government.
So
the banks run the world, we know that.
We're running short on time, but Anon in the chat rooms, after hearing everything that we said, wants to know, well, what's the solution? What can we do to make this resolve? Anyone of you guys got an idea?
Walk away.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Let Patty go on this one.
That's
go, it. Patty, go.
We are the solution. We've always been the solution. The fact is that we haven't stood up. We've sat back, we've allowed it to happen, we've watched it happen, and we've yelled about it, oh, don't do that, that's not right. But until we actually stand up and make changes, look guys, they're working really, really, really hard to turn us in the direction they want us to go. So think about this. If they're doing that, they must need us. They must not be able to do this on their own. So if they're not able to do this on their own and they need us, then we have two choices. We can acquiesce and say, okay, we'll do what you want. We'll move into the pasture that you want us to move. Or we can stand together and say, enough is enough is enough. Hold on just a second. Say hi to everybody.
Hi, buddy.
Well, hello there.
Good morning. Yeah.
And then I'm going to turn it over to Barb.
Go ahead, Barb.
Well, I guess I feel, you know, I always feel that there are solutions. There are, but we have to seek these solutions. You just can't sit back and say it's hopeless, because once you do that and believe that you're helpless, there you go. You know, there, you will not find any peace, inner peace or solutions, and you're not going to change things. We have to start with ourselves, as I always say, because we are all connected. We're not isolated, but they are attempting to isolate us, aren't they? Deliberately, because they know we are all connected. We are connected energetically. We are connected through our thought, our words, our emotions, our beliefs. We are so powerfully connected that they are attempting in this timeline here to separate us. Through divisiveness, you know, and hatred and so on. And the key really is to start with yourself first. Get right with your creator. I'm going to say it again. You know, build your spiritual garden, your connectedness to source and the truth, the omniscience, the grander, I guess the greater, grander something, whatever you want to make it, doesn't matter to me. So I think that this is a key piece, is we have a power unbeknownst to us that they have basically driven out of us, where we are told that we know nothing, we are helpless and hopeless, and we must listen to them, the authorities. I keep referring to the authorities because we have to know who gave these people authority. Where did they come from? And why do we believe in them? Why are we not questioning? Why are we not coming together? Why are we not stepping away from this divisiveness and this push to hate each other? And fear. Okay? So we have to not fear. Above all, I do not fear. And I always say, you know, no matter what's coming, no matter what they're going to push at us, I know who I am. I know my connectedness to Source, to Creator, Great Spirit, and the Mother Earth, which they are incrementally pushing us away preventing us from our fundamental nature, fundamental being of one with all creation. Not only just the Mother Nature, but all of life and each other. So they have been working for eons, as I said before, to incrementally push us into their corral where they want us to be separated, divisive, fearful, terrified, and so on. Originally, life was not really meant to be that way, but their agenda wants us to be terrified and turn to them for the answers. Yes, they're going to make it to the point where people will turn to them, the authorities. Tell us what to do. We'll do anything that you tell us because it is so awful here. It is so terrifying here. Tell us. I'll do whatever you want. This is a very dangerous arena, you know, that they are pushing us into. And now is the time. I mean, we were in a critical time, a timeline, and prophecies unfolding, and this is what prophecy speaks of. The elders have told us this time would come. So it's really up to us. Collectively and individually, we must begin with our own self, our own heart spirit, to get right with our Creator. Whatever, whomever that may be, it doesn't matter to me. Because what that is that sovereignty. What that is that power, empowerment. If you don't have a foundation that you can stand on that is strong, if you don't have something in your heart spirit that is so strong in a greater something, you're going to be buffeted and pummeled and slammed and basically probably fall off of that. Fall down and be one of the people who say, tell me what to do, tell us what to do. And this is what we have to be very careful of. And we need each other. You know, we do need each other. We can't be hating each other and pushing each other aside because the political people tell us to. We have to step away from politics. We have to step away from all this control. That's the only way I feel. Beginning with yourself is basically the, I'm going to throw it in here because this is the key piece. Frequency, the frequency of love and compassion. Where is our compassion today? If we're standing out there pointing fingers and screaming at each other and spewing out hate and siding with this political nutcase and that wackadoodle, where is our compassion? Where are we headed? We must stand together. You've got to get right with your Creator. You've got to get right with what we're being told, the teachings that were originally given to us, not only of the peacemaker here on Turtle Island, but we have across the board. Many came here giving us the solution, folks.
Yeah.
We all know the words, but where have we been with that? We have put that aside, and we believe in the authorities who tell us there are no solutions, only we have the solutions. That's what they're saying. So I'm just saying, I have great hope and faith, and I know that no matter what happens, ultimately, we will be all right. I think things are going to get rough. I think things are going to really, really get rough. But we have something, we must have something, a foundation, that strength, which I believe is the source of spiritual connectedness to that greater, greater power of love and compassion. And the light is more powerful than the dark. No matter what they do, you have to come to that connectedness, because that is what will help us to move through these challenging times. That's all, you know, that's all I feel. There's stuff going on that we have no clue about. They're keeping us hidden.
Yeah.
They're keeping all this information that is hidden from us. They have more technology. They have connectedness to various entities that we have no clue about. But all this is going to come out. It's all going to come out. And
that
so
too.
That's why we need our strength, our spiritual strength, and our unity together. That's all I'm going to say.
Well said. Well, folks, we're about to wrap this up a little bit, but we're still wanting to go around the table. But before we get that far, because we're probably going to run a little bit over, at the beginning of this show, I tried to put a visual in each and every one of your head before you listen to this show. Basically, I explained this. Hold your hand out in front of your face in like a closed hand, like you're getting ready to slap somebody. And put your GoPro camera on and wander through town and out into the woods or the jungle or whatever until you find a bee's nest. All right? Then run up there and slap it. All right? And then the question after that was to believe or to not believe. That is the question. So, you know, were you being bombarded by all of this stuff? And as ridiculous as it sounds about running up there slapping the bee's nest, if you step out of the box and you look, these folks know how to slap the bee's nest. They know how to get you out of your houses and get you riled up, get you go protesting and doing all the stuff that you do. And so, you know, whether you're believing in one side of the story or you're believing in the other side of the story, before you actually go out there and act on what the information that was given to you, step back a little bit farther and pay real close attention to both sides of that story. Before you run up there and slap that bee's nest and get all your brothers and sisters riled up, know exactly how you're being played like a banjo. Because these folks, they've had many, many, many years to learn how to do what it is that they do to the average person out there. They know how to touch your heartstring when it comes to children. They know how to touch your anger and frustration when it comes to your religious or spiritual beliefs. They know how to touch your emotions when it comes down to political and ideological views and such. They know. They know how to do this. They've done tons and tons of experiments how to manipulate humanity. And the things that they do to our environment under the guise of our protection and our representation, some of these are crimes against humanity beyond the scale. Some of the things that they've done to us under these false pretenses and some of the things, the reasons why they went to war against what the average Joe probably would have said if they would have asked me personally about going to war over with these folks, I would be more apt to wait and hear what the Klan mothers said about whether or not it was a wise choice and whether or not it was worthy of going to war over. I would have been one standing in the background saying, hold on, before we get any crazier and we get brash, let's sort this thing out, because I do in my heart believe in peace, hope, and love. And I honestly believe in the true goodness of humanity, that we do have the capability, if we ever so choose to take our free will and work with this system that we've been given, this world, this beautiful world. There are solutions available for every single problem under the sun, but we have to come together like we're doing here on the Knights of the Round Table. We got to sort these things out. We got to point the solutions out to those who don't know, and those who've been blinded by the propaganda and all the craziness that they've had to endure, and they're so hardcore heck bent on sticking, you can't change my mind. The earth is flat, the earth is round, we did or didn't go to the moon, there is or isn't a one world conspiracy, there is or isn't a God. All these stuff, we got to set them down on the table. And we got to sort them out. Because the ultimate losers in this episode that we're watching play out before our very eyes is you, me, my children, and your children. It's our children that are going to go to war. It's our children that are going to come back in body bags. It's our trees and our wildlife that is being destroyed on a regular basis. One little tiny episode of what I tried to accomplish in this world was one of the governors that's out there right now, Governor Rick Scott, who's supposed to go in the Senate. Now they got this big old controversy about election fraud and such. But I tried as hard as I could to get a message to this man because of his position of power and give him a solution about how to resolve the red tide and the green tide algaes, all this stuff that's going on over there that's causing a massive fish die-off because of industry that the farmers and the cattle ranchers and stuff like that are basically on both sides of a lake that is being polluted by runoffs from fertilizers and chemicals and all that kind of stuff, which has nature thrown off of balance. And I'm trying to give them a solution how to help nature put things back in balance using a native plant of Florida. But do you know, I had no response from these leaders. I had no response for the people out there shouting the loudest, the environmentalists. I had absolutely no response to the solution that I put on the table to try to resolve this and benefit both sides of the fence. Scientifically, the farmers could have benefited because they would have had been able to recycle their same fertilizer the next year over. They would have had free fertilizer. They would have had biodiesels to run their tractors. They would have actually had chicken feed, duck feed, fish food. They would have been able to take this one particular problem and turned it into a plus on both sides of the fence. And at the same exact time, benefit those who are watching their environment be destroyed by something ridiculous that man just did. And the state of Florida could have benefited as well by ensuring that both sides of this fence is happy on this situation. So what Barbara said and what Patty has said and doggone it, I forgot your name. sorry.
Barry.
What Barry said.
What?
Yeah, I forgot Barry's name. That's how my mind is racing. That's how fast my mind is racing. I can forget my own friend's name. But this is what they've been saying all along. If you want to find a solution, that you are that solution. Don't give up at the email. Don't give up because the task seems too overwhelming to endure through. Get out there with your neighbors and show them the solutions. Show them. I mean, every time we talk about something on here, we give you links. We give you ideas to go out and research. Take all your research. Take all your friends. Gather their research. Gather with your communities, in your school communities, in your town councils. Build you a dream team in your neighborhood. You know, together we can accomplish so much because we have wisdom. We got amazing amount of power if you actually sit down and think about what you have access to. We have the resources. We have the world. And we have each other. And when we do have all that together combined, there is nothing that we can't succeed at. Sorry I forgot your name, Barry. I better let you go first out of this deal.
That's a first for me.
Yeah, my brain just stopped. I went to say Barry's name and Barry just disappeared. I'm like, what the heck? It's the Matrix. It's broken.
A little bit of aluminum in the brain never hurt anybody.
Yeah. Maybe I ate too many paint chips. Anyway, go ahead, Barry. What's your last final thoughts on this deal?
Well, I agree with Barb. It's not past the point of fixing, but I believe we're at a critical time right now in human history. This short time of human history on this planet, I think we're at a very, very critical point. We're either going to win this battle or we're going to lose this battle. And if we lose the battle, our children are going to curse us. And I say that many times, but yep. Really, that's kind of the bottom line, because if you're not aware of what's going on the planet right now, if you don't see everything that's going on, then you really must have your head buried in the sand, or you don't care. And unfortunately, I think that a lot of society will not respond in mass till it really starts to directly affect their lives. People can still go to the store and get their food. They still have a little bit left out of their paycheck. You know, things seem to be fine on the surface. And unfortunately, I said, I think a vast majority of society, unfortunately, are apathetic. Our brains have been hardened. Our souls have been hardened. We don't care about our fellow man anymore. We don't care about anything but ourselves. And that, of course, has been indoctrinated into our minds since we were born. We've got to get outside of the matrix. We've got to start looking at what is really important. To me, I have grandchildren and children coming up on this planet, and they want to live on this world. And right now, I see this planet being destroyed at an incredible rate. And if you don't see it, then you're just not paying attention.
Yep.
The information's out there, and the information that I look at, I always make sure that I vet information. When I read reports about die-offs, I go right to the source and make sure that it's credible, and probably two or three entities reporting on the same issue, and I seem to find that on a regular basis. So to say that we're not seeing the biggest die-off right now of mammals on the planet, you're not paying attention. Our oceans are dying. Really, what is our priorities in life? My priority is to make sure that my children have a planet to live on. And I say to people, you know, who cares about a new car? Who cares about a new TV? who cares who won the hockey game last night? You know, we could talk about all the divisions that have been implemented into our society, incrementally, very slowly, over the last, you know, really in the last 30, 40 years. And of course, society hasn't recognized these changes, accepted as the new norm. This is the way it's supposed to be. And don't ask questions. Well, we really got to start asking questions. We also got to prepare ourselves. I honestly believe there is an event coming up very shortly. I'm not going to say what I really believe, but there's events going to happen that are really going to shake the human race to the core. And of course, out of chaos comes control. Mm-hmm. You got to remember that when these events start to happen, to try and keep your feet on the ground. And really, like Barbara said, whatever you have for a spiritual connection in your life, you must connect with that. Because if not, you're just going to get brushed aside. You're going to get destroyed. And that's what I see coming. So that's really all I got to say today. We have all the answers. We really do.
Yeah.
I honestly believe, Shaziz, that every problem right now facing the planet, we have 100% absolute foolproof solutions to those problems.
I agree.
And I say to people, if we don't jump on this, then there isn't going to be a planet to live on. And I mean that. And I honestly believe that. So my thoughts for the day.
Well, you know what? I honestly believe you're right, Barry. I think we're standing at a crossroads right now as humanity. You know, it's time for us to decide. We're going to go down that smooth path or we're going to go down the rough one. It's our choice. So with that said, which one of you ladies want to go next?
Well, I just pop in here quickly. I think I already said my piece, but I just want to say this about the spiritual connection. Why we keep talking about that? Because the spiritual connection, of course, connects you to Source, something more powerful. It is a frequency that is so powerful that the dark or the evil cannot penetrate or affect
Amen.
It. Yeah,
Amen.
This is why we keep talking about your spiritual foundation, your spiritual connection, because it is a frequency, okay? And that frequency is an energy that really is profound and protective, and it can, not, you know, you there you are, you're in that frequency. That's it, period. That's all I'm going to say.
Well said. What about you, Patty?
Well, okay. So we're all awake here, right? We all know what's going on. We know the narrative that is being pushed. Okay, so here's the really tricky part is that what do you want out of life? How brave are you? What do you fear? These are questions that you have to ask yourself. Who's going to change the narrative? Are we going to change the narrative? And if we are, how do we do that? There's only one way that we can change the narrative. Only one way. And that's for us to say, we're done. No fear. No fear. Because we're looking at the future that they present for us. And we know that this future will be our demise as well as every other living thing on this planet. That is the narrative that we are looking at. That is the future that is in front of our face right now. We all see it, all of us. There's no one that is not aware that cannot see this. We have to change the narrative. We have to drop the fear. If we stand and we say, well, dang, we need to change it. What can I do? What can I do? Then we've already defeated ourselves. That has no place in the change that we want to see. We have to drop the fear. What are you willing to sacrifice for the future of your children, for the future of this planet, for the future of all of us? What are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to sacrifice the fear of going against authority? Because that's what we have to do. That's what we have to do. There are solutions. The only place that you find solutions to what is happening right now is from the people. Your authority figures Your governments are providing no solutions, have not provided any solutions. So if you're still standing there thinking that if I just vote the right person in, if I just let them, give them a little bit of time, if I pick a sign up and go protest, that they'll see what they're doing and they'll stop it, then you're living in fear and you're holding yourself and everybody else back. We have to make the change. We are the only ones, and we have to stand strong together. We cannot affect change while we sit back and watch them do their deeds.
Yep.
We cannot make a future where all of us have the happiness, the abundance, and the health, and everything that we are capable of doing. We can't have it until we decide it's a done deal. We're not backing down anymore. We're going to stand up against this, and we are going to make change. We are the change. We are the cure. We have everything we need. There's nothing that we lack except for the courage to drop all of these narratives, these false narratives, and come together. Love is the key. Compassion is the key. We have this in abundance. We create it. Need to get to it.
I agree. Well, folks, there you heard it. Once again, Knights of the Round Table, common sense. And for those of you who heard about the slap in the bee's nest thing, in reality, it's really not a good thing. Don't go up and slap a bee's nest, because it's not just you that might be the recipient of the retaliation when nature sends the army of bees out to set you straight. It might be the innocent right next to you that's going to get it as well. So don't slap bee's nest. However, on the believe or not to believe thing, that's going to be your choice, your free will, your own personal journey through life, and your research alone that's going to be able to tell you whether to believe or not to believe. We don't ask you to believe anything we say. What we ask you to do is verify what we say with your own research, and then you'll understand where we stand. So with that said, don't go out there and slap the bee's nest. It's not as funny as it sounds if you get... So, if you like what you heard here on this show, please share it with everybody. I think today's was an amazing show. You know, we got a little bit of lighthearted humor involved there. We talked about a lot of serious stuff. We came up with a lot of ideas and solutions, things to watch out for. Step outside the box. Share this information with your neighbors and your friends. Tell them that all hope is not lost. We still got each other. And even if things start to go south or whatever, go sideways, if we come together, we can resolve these issues. And we can ensure that people have fresh water and food and clothing and shelter. We can all do that, because that's the gift I believe we've been given with this beautiful, wonderful work that we've been blessed with. I mean, you work in harmony with nature, and nature will take care of you in abundance. We talked about yesterday something as simple. If you look at these fruits that are on these trees, apples, they have seeds that from one apple you can grow many trees. And from one tomato you can grow many more tomatoes. From one rotted potato, you can grow a whole bunch of potatoes.
Ant that stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1.
And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Old woman!
Man!
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot.
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 It's only a model.
Shh.
Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're knights of the round table, we dance when we're able. We do routines to call the scenes, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rhymes that are quite unsing-able. We're off so mad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Hear ye, hear ye. King Shazir the Terrible. All those who are king, Shazir the Terrible, and the Knights of the Round Table.